much about. So easy.
La, la, la. You gotta put it in perspective.
He's bounding down. Let's do it, snowman.
You mean the bandit? I'm the bandit, you're a snowman.
Well, how come you always get to be the bandit?
Because I got a mustache. You gotta have a mustache to be the bandit.
My mother could be the bandit.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Jewish man gets hit by a car. They're waiting for the ambulance. The cop takes his jacket off, covers him. He said, "You're comfortable? Should I make a nice living?"
That's so stupid.
A 13-time Emmy recipient. Good reporting all around tonight. Emmy, rather, recipient. And he won Grammys, too. Oh, 13 Grammys. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
And now...
all the ladies at the party, come on and shake your boobies, yeah. Who likes to rock the party?
I like to rock the party.
Our feature presentation.
I am very sad that there may be no more Flight of the Conchords, I'll tell you that.
I know. That is just... what did we get? 2 seasons?
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes it's better.
Well, that's what Britain does.
Yeah, that's the way England does it. They do. They set out to do one or two series of a show from get-go.
Yeah.
And they only do 8 or 9 episodes per season, and they write it with an ending in mind, and they just knock it out, do the best they can, and then just let it go.
And they leave you wanting more.
Exactly.
They do, but do you have any doubt that, say, Ricky Gervais could have made more than 12 great Office episodes? I mean, I think there was a lot more in the reservoir there, as the American show has proven, by going on 5 seasons.
Maybe they get bored.
Also think it's stronger. I mean, he could have done more episodes, but could he have done a more complete, perfect story than he did with the, the dozen or so episodes that he did?
I'm going to say yes.
No, I doubt it.
Well, approach is different in terms of story.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more like a movie that's spread out over 12 episodes. Right. Yeah.
As much as I enjoy The Office, the American version, it feels sort of... played. I mean, there's always laughs in every episode, but it's not exactly exciting television anymore. You know, it's kind of comfortable now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is a little silly to think that a documentary crew would stay with an office for 6 years.
Well, it's not the most realistic thing in the world. I agree with that.
I find that a stretch a little bit sometimes when I'm watching it. Still? Really? They're still shooting this documentary?
I forget what are they gonna do with it? Documentary.
Hey, who's going to watch that documentary? That was one of the things McFarlane did with the Family Guy thing when they were doing the war against the other shows for best comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They had Stewie asking Brian that. It's like, so when's that documentary coming out, huh? When's that going to happen, that documentary?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Very funny. By the way, we're going to take your calls in 1 minute at 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize. We probably won't have time to mention this later today, but I have to bring it up because... Plexico Burress.
Ah, Plex.
He got hosed, right?
No, I didn't get off.
Tell me, what happened?
He got off light.
2 years?
He's the one with the gun, right?
Yeah.
In the
2 years, though? I mean, they think he'll do 20 months.
Better than the men.
I mean, I know that this was a plea deal, and he agreed to it, so there was no great surprise. But yesterday was a day that he was, you know, taken away in handcuffs and sent up to Rikers. But I don't know. He was stupid to have an unlicensed gun and ridiculously stupid that he allowed it to go off.
Yeah.
Guy's got a 3-year-old and another one on the way, and he's going away for 2 years. I don't think he's a criminal. I mean, technically he is because he broke a law.
Right.
But I don't think criminal intent.
That law had a minimum prison sentence attached to it, the law that he broke. Of 3 years. So
I understand.
He got a year off.
I think it's unusually harsh, though. I really do. I don't think a guy goes to jail for 2 years for being stupid if he didn't hurt anyone but himself.
You think they're making an example out of Plexico Burress?
I don't know. According to what Ralph's saying, he got a good deal. Yeah,
Ralph's exactly right. Most people in New York State know that they have the strictest concealed weapon laws. And,
right.
You know, he probably knew that going into it.
And it's not like it's a negotiable sentence either. There is a minimum there. That's why he had to plead out, because then they could be more flexible with the sentence. If he had just gone straight up, he would have gotten 3. And they said with good time and everything else, he'll probably get out in, you know, a year and a half.
20 months is the minimum he has to serve.
Bean, think about it this way. I mean, he very easily could have not shot his own leg. He could have accidentally shot some innocent patron right through the chest.
Right. Buddy of mine went to jail for a year for DUI, which was stupidity, but it was his first.
Wow.
And he wasn't involved in an accident or anything.
In California?
Yeah.
Wow. That's harsh.
Yeah. He got a bad judge. He got an angry judge. He didn't do all that time, but that was his sentence. And I think, you know, I think that was harsh. He had a family and stuff too. But look, you know, you break the law, you're going to pay the price sometimes.
So what you're saying then, if I understand you correctly, is you shouldn't do the crime if you can't do the time.
Don't do it.
That's what you're saying.
Sammy Davis Jr. would tell us.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
Sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Kevin's on vacation. I'm glad Steve is still here, though, in order to get us into the bits. So I appreciate
Steve.
That. All right, if you love the freestyle motocross, and who doesn't, then you won't want to miss the ASA Freestyle Motocross coming up on Saturday, October 3rd at the LA County Fair. We can give you passes to that and also tickets to the midnight screening of Paranormal Activity. Ooh, very scary. That's at the Arclight, and it's going to be, I'll say, tomorrow night. It doesn't hit theaters till October 30th, so you get to see it way out in advance. I hear very good things about that movie, too, by the way. All right, why don't we try, let's try Karina on line one to get us started here on a Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Karina.
Hi, Karina.
Good morning. I was calling to complain about a stingray sting that I got at San Clemente Beach yesterday. The barb went in the bottom of my foot about 2 inches.
Ow.
Yeah.
I can't walk, and it oozes like this weird white stuff. It's totally disgusting.
Lisa May.
Suddenly, you're here early, Gene.
Yes, I got up early this morning. Speaking of injecting you with oozing white stuff.
Come on.
So was it on the bottom of the ocean floor and you stepped on it?
Yes, I was actually coming back into shore from being further out. And as soon as I stepped down, I stepped right on it.
Ow.
Wow.
Have you seen a doctor about this?
Yeah,
I did. I went to the doctor, actually, and they put a string in it. Since it's so deep, I guess they do that with knife wounds and whatnot, so that every time I get it dressed, they pull the string, but the inside of the cut doesn't heal before the outside.
Oh, I hear what you're saying.
Oh,
wow. Wow.
That sounds like fun.
Hey, we have been telling you for years on this show that the animals are attacking, that they are taking over one at a time, and now maybe the stingrays, maybe they got their Al-Qaeda message that the time is now, and they're going to start taking everybody out in the water.
It's the second time I've been stung at this beach.
Don't go there anymore. Find a new beach.
Thank you for the call, Karina.
Sorry for your pain.
It's funny. She said she's calling to complain, and I felt like we're working behind the desk, and we should be able to do something for her, but we really can't.
I'm gonna give that stingray such a talking to.
And
he's in trouble.
Is this a case of animals attacking or an animal getting stepped on by another animal that's 24 times its weight?
And you step on me, I'm going to sting you too.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah, could be. All right. How about Christian on line three on the Kevin and Bean Show? Hi, Christian. What to do, nephew?
Good morning. What to do, nephew? What to do, baby boo?
Hello.
I can call in about this horrible, horrible group, Owl City.
Mm-hmm.
They must be stopped somehow, some way.
All right.
I have an app on my iPhone that I listen to at work, and it just streams some radio station. And yesterday, you know, give any suggestions, and they kept trying to play Owl City, and I would fast forward it, and finally I ran out of skips ahead because they just kept trying to play Owl City, and finally I just put it away. Every song sounds the same. It's all about rainbows and puppy dogs,
mm-hmm,
and
right,
daffodils, and they have to be stopped.
Why do you hate joy, man? Why do you hate love? Why do you hate peace?
I'm not against that. It's just pretty much the lamest. I don't even call that music. It sounds like something off a little kid's cartoon or something.
Yeah,
I would rather listen to the Barney theme song all day.
I feel your pain. I mean, I think you have it worse than Karina with the stingray. To tell you the truth, I think your pain is more real.
It has to be, and I don't understand that there's talented groups out there. I mean, besides Linkin Park and Red Hot Chili Peppers, they should be getting play on your station. And we get Owl City.
Dude, don't talk to us about the music. We have nothing to do with it, and we've been told that very clearly.
And by the way,
opinions mean nothing.
It's been an enormous source of requests here at the station.
There is that as well.
It's a huge hit.
So you got to blame your own peeps out there too. You know?
No, there's got to be like 5 guys that get really high and think it's funny to just call in and request.
Quite possible.
Well, we will sick the stingrays on Owl City.
Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Todd, line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Todd, thanks for calling in. What to do?
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
So, I'm a 6'3 black belt, and I typically sleep pretty light. So last night, I'm having a dream that I'm fighting aliens,
right.
And I'm going to work, and I'm going to work, and I'm fighting them. And I said one solid blow, reach across, nail my girlfriend in the nose, drew blood and everything.
Yeah.
Oh!
Oh, man. Is that the first time you've done that?
First time I punched her in the face, but typically I give my friends, one time my friends tried to do a flying squirrel on me when I was passed out on the couch, and just as they're in the air, my foot came up and just hit my buddy right in the chest.
Dude.
So I sleep pretty light.
Yeah. You got mad skills even when you're asleep.
So I was kind of thinking you guys could probably do a skit on what people do in their sleep, either sleepwalking or whatever. It might be a good little segment.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
It's a good call-in idea.
And yeah, your girlfriend needs to leave before she dies. That's the other idea I have.
We're actually getting married on Saturday in Cabo, so it's
well, that's a bad choice on her part.
Good timing, by the way. How does she look?
Oh, no. It's she's looking okay. She's looking okay. This one's going down.
Well, I'm getting you a catcher's mask for her as a wedding gift. How about that?
I like it.
All right, man. Hey, have a great wedding. Have fun in Mexico. Thanks for the call.
Don't screw with Todd. He's trained to kill. Do not sneak up on Todd. He's trained to kill.
Even in his sleep, he will serve you.
Even if he's passed out drunk, he will kill you.
Dude's got bad skills.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there for today. Thank you very much for the calls. Let's take a look at today's Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited. The Roastmaster General is going to be here today. Jeffrey Ross. He is a funny, funny man, and he has written a book that is very entertaining. I got a chance to read some of it last night. You know, he spends quite a bit of time on talking about Jimmy Kimmel's cousin Sal and how he served him on the night that Jeffrey Ross was eliminated from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard this story before, Sal basically texted him right before the results show and said, "Don't worry, you're safe." And Jeffrey Ross figured, hey, he's got an inside, you know, contact over at ABC, being that Jimmy Kimmel shows on
right.
ABC. And he was standing there all night expecting to be safe, and then he got eliminated. And it was according to the book, it sounds like it was the most crushing disappointment and the worst prank anyone's ever played on him. And there was a huge feud between he and Sal that lasted for months. These are guys who have been friends for years and years and years, going all the way back to the Man Show. The feud would not end until do you guys know who came in and managed to mediate their friendship back together
again? Well, Jimmy, I would assume, right?
Frank Sinatra?
Sheriff Lobo?
It was at Jimmy's house, but Tom Cruise was the one who played the decider. Tom Cruise is the one who heard both sides of the story and decided who was right, who was wrong, who apologized, and who was going to make up.
Oh, well, he can't help himself, Tom Cruise. If he sees someone in trouble, he's got to step in. He's got to act.
I believe this is not a joke, too. It was Tom Cruise and his mother. It was Tom Cruise and Tom Cruise's mother sitting
that is
there
correct.
Acting as mediator.
Yes.
Mrs. Maple.
One of the weirdest showbiz stories ever. And I'm so excited that it's in the book so that we can all learn about it. And Jeffrey Ross will be in today, and I'm sure that's one of many things that we'll be talking about.
Well, you've told the story. We don't need to learn about it now. You've told his story. You told his best story already. You've told it.
But
it's done.
I'm telling the highlights for people who definitely need to stick around for later because Jeffrey will flesh it out, give us details, and make it funny.
Yeah, I'm not interested anymore. I've heard it.
All right, forget you heard the Tom Cruise part. Wait till you hear what superstar celebrity managed to mediate those two together.
I'm guessing Tom Cruise.
Seth Green also on the program today. I'm worried about Seth. He's one of our favorites, but apparently he's calling today to pimp out Butterfingers.
Oh, you better not lay a finger on my Butterfinger. I will get Todd to kick you in the chest.
Phil Keegan is going to be on the program today. He, of course, is the host of The Amazing Race, which I guess is back for a new season.
Yes.
Yes, back for another Emmy win. They're going to get another Emmy this year.
They've won them all.
They sure have.
Ways that Kevin and Bean screwed you over is a phone topic today.
Can we call in?
Yeah, can Lisa and I call in?
Because we got stuff.
Apparently there are times when listening to this program does not help you. It gets you in trouble with your loved ones. It gets you in trouble at work. In the case of one listener we'll talk to today, it gets you a speeding ticket. So we're going to take your calls. That's
Here's
coming up.
The thing. The Kevin and Bean Show is a loaded gun, you know? And you can use it for good. You can target practice with it. You can kill food to feed your family. Or you can use it for evil. You can hold up a liquor store. It's not the gun's fault, man. Guns don't kill people.
Right. You can be negligent with the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right, exactly.
That's what it is. So we're the gun, and the listeners are Plexico then.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
They got to make a decision how to best use us so that nobody gets hurt.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And in just a few minutes, we have a story about, I guess the movement is on worldwide to start making seats bigger for people. And we're talking about in cars. We're talking about in airplanes. We're talking about everywhere because people continue to get fatter and they don't fit in stuff anymore.
Yeah, it's evolution, man.
You know, a couple of the airlines are at the point where they are charging, if you weigh over a certain amount, they are charging you two seats now. I mean, it's happening because you can't be contained in one seat anymore.
No, look, and it's unfair to the person sitting next to you to have you oozing into their seat.
Yes.
For 5 hours.
You know,
or
in
more.
The 1800s in America, the average doorway threshold was like, you know, 5'6", 5'8",
really?
You know? And then they had to expand the doorways. They had to make them taller because people right. got taller. It's evolution. It's
time that just was to, nutrition.
Just let our fat asses just grow to the point where we're just all sitting on beanbag chairs on a plane.
And by the way, this is my speaking.
Hey, Gene Simmons is back!
Speaking of oozing into your seat.
All right, Gene. Oh. We'll take a quick break. Ralph's got our first look at the showbiz beat right after this on the Kevin Beat. Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 5:54. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. How about this for a musical treat coming up right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat? Brand new music from Foo Fighters.
What?
Been a while. Been a while. You know, we love that band so much.
It's been
much.
A while. They didn't do that song.
No, it's a different song, Bean.
Foo Fighters' Greatest Hits is going to be in stores first week of November. I guess there are two new songs included. We'll hear Wheels. The song is called Wheels. And it's coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Brand new Foo Fighters. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We were talking earlier about guns, and so I just wanted to take just a brief moment, if you would join me in just a moment, to think about James Looney, 40-year-old gun expert James Looney.
Okay.
Just keep a good thought for him.
Why?
James was giving his girlfriend a lesson in safety locks on firearms. James was a gun expert.
Mm-hmm.
He was a gun dealer and used to go around giving gun safety lessons. So he was showing his girlfriend how the safety lock works on his various guns. To illustrate the point, James would aim the gun at his head and try to pull the trigger.
Oh, my God.
The third gun James was showing his girlfriend, something went wrong.
And they were loaded?
Yeah. Either the safety was busted or James did something wrong. Anyway, James shot himself in the head. And killed himself in front of his girlfriend.
He's no expert.
He is
no expert.
He's no gun safety expert.
He is now.
Yeah. So just you know, just a kind thought for James Looney as we get on with our day.
That could so win the big money on America's Funniest Home Videos if they had taped it. Oh my God, you can't beat that.
You really can't.
Well, there's the video of that. I believe it was a DEA agent in Oakland
in front of that classroom
at the grammar school.
Yeah,
talking about how dangerous guns can be, and then he just shoots himself right in the leg.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Okay, I just shot myself.
Don't panic.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. I'm okay.
Hey, didn't Johnny Drama just shoot out Vince's front door on Entourage a couple weeks ago with a gun? Remember?
That's right.
Waving it around.
Guns are dangerous, man. Yes, Plexico.
What?
All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? This may be... I can't remember the last time I got this excited about something that's going to be on television. This made me smile all day yesterday when I heard about it. TMZ.com has caught Kevin Federline showing up on the set of Celebrity Fit Club yesterday.
Yay!
Apparently, Kevin Federline will be joining the other cast members, including Bobby Brown and Nicole Eggert, to the set of the VH1 reality show Celebrity Fit Club, where Kevin is ready to shed the 400 pounds he's gained in the past year. Also on the show, by the way, will be his other baby mama, Shar Jackson.
No way.
I thought she got all fit and trim.
Apparently she got all fat and untrim again.
Oh,
most
no.
of the people on that show end up gaining the weight back.
That's true.
Yeah.
As with any sort of crash diet plan or crash exercise plan, if you don't integrate it into your regular life, you won't be able to live.
What about The Biggest Loser, though?
Ah, The Biggest Loser.
I don't know much about it, but it's got to be tough for someone to continue to live that lifestyle when they don't have the personal trainers around them all the time and the cameras on them all the time and the nutritionists and stuff like that. To take, you know, whatever, how many months you're on that show and then go back into your normal lifestyle, it's almost impossible to keep that up.
And here's the thing, Lisa. The Biggest Loser, they live there for, I don't know, the 3 or 4 months, whatever it takes to film that show. with Fit Club, they show up for a couple of days, they film the show, they do away, and then they leave, and they go back to their homes and stuff. So you can pop, you know, Xenadrex or whatever, and, you know, lose a bunch of weight for the TV show, and then you may not keep
it off. I think the Biggest Loser, a lot of them actually do manage to keep most of the weight off.
Yeah. Although that the
Can you read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
The dude that won a couple seasons ago, he famously put it all back on again.
Oh, really?
Which is kind of sad. Looks like it's going to be the real deal on Sunday when Khloe Kardashian and Lamar Odom exchange wedding vows.
This will be deal. Like it's a happening. Month.
Right?
That's about how long they've dated
now? Yes. They are really making a mad dash for the altar this Sunday. Apparently, the event will be held at a family friend's palatial estate somewhere. I think it's Malibu in the boo.
She might. I mean, ordinarily, I would think maybe she's pregnant. That's the rush. But you'd never know it if she were pregnant.
Exactly.
She won't know it until the baby drops.
She could drop a litter and you wouldn't even recognize her.
Right.
This dude's house they're having the wedding at is, I guess, a music mogul. Like, he's some big deal.
Yeah. Apparently, they've got plenty of room for the 250 of their closest friends they're inviting Sunday.
Wow.
They are doing the invites by phone, apparently, because there's no time to get out invitations, naturally.
Yeah.
And if you want to get something for Khloe and Lamar, or Khloe Odom, as she's now known in the yodeling communities, they are registered at Williams-Sonoma. That's where you can pick up something for her.
Naturally, food-related.
Yeah. You can get her a meat tenderizer, one of those things you pound meat with.
Let's.
Speaking of pounding meat.
Let's go ahead right now on the spot and make our predictions as to how long this marriage will last. Let's go ahead and start the office pool.
Wow.
Because rushing into it a month after dating and with these two personalities involved, I'm going to say 11 months.
You're going for the under the year, huh?
11 months.
A season lasts because they won't split up during the season.
During the Khloe Kardashian TV season the Lamar Odom basketball season?
That is a good point.
Yeah.
We have to consider both of those things.
It feels like they're rushing to get it in so they can shoot it before the end of the season.
Certainly does.
Khloe and Kim take over Atlanta or whatever the hell show that is.
It certainly does. I'd give them a year and 3 months.
Year and three.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. 11 months. A year
15
and
months.
15 months. I am going to go with 6. 6 months.
6 months.
Yeah. I'm going way under. Yeah.
Michael?
9 months.
Well, no one's given him more than 15 months.
Well, it just doesn't make any sense. Lamar's got to have just an ironclad prenup, right? I mean, he just signed a huge re-up.
Huge deal.
Lakers.
Yep. And he's definitely got plenty of money in the bank already.
Yeah. I'm concerned for his financial
well-being.
He has,
a common law wife, by the way.
He
has this girl that he's been dating pretty seriously for, 9 years, and they have a couple kids together.
How pissed is she, by the way?
Yeah.
No kidding.
She couldn't get him to the altar, but Khloe's getting him there. You know, Seth Green sent us over a box of Butterfingers.
Just send that.
I'm just going to send that over as the wedding gift.
Good idea.
For Lamar.
Lamar
loves
wait.
The candy.
I can't wait to see them fight over candy.
And
I
she
can't wait.
Obviously loves to eat.
I send my personal assistant out maybe 10 times a day. Go get me more Twizzlers.
Gumma bear.
And then give me Kit Kat.
A rack of gumma bear.
And she's going to hijack that assistant and just be like, give me a rack of lamb.
Give me a gumma bear too.
You know, it's the new fall season for television, so I want to give you the heads up as we go day to day to let you know what you can be watching that's new on your TV screens.
You were not kidding about House, by the way.
How great was House?
I watched that last
it's
night.
It's one of the best movies of the year, isn't it?
Teary-eyed, and it was so moving. It was just amazing.
When the cello playing started, I cried like a bitch.
I did, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent.
It was really
excellent.
Something.
New TV shows you can check out tonight. Modern Family, which we've all been looking forward to, is going to be on ABC tonight after Dancing with the Stars, which has been on now for the past 3 nights, Dancing with the Stars. Can't get away from Dancing with the Stars.
I could not. I tried.
Tried to watch
I tried
it?
For the money, and I couldn't do it. I just don't have the patience.
Yeah. After that is Cougartown, starring
Courtney
Cox. And then Eastwick, a brand new show. So almost all new television on ABC tonight. You can check that out.
Okay.
So those are the new shows. There's some other new shows. NBC's Mercy finally going to be on NBC.
And no one's going to watch.
I think
the last appearance.
They will call the Mercy Rule on Mercy.
Yeah.
After its first couple weeks and pull it off. And then a new Glee tonight as well. So you can check that out.
Mercy is third watch, right? Same show.
No, not even that. Because Third Watch was what Trauma is going to be on NBC.
Oh, Trauma
this
is
year.
Third Watch.
Trauma
okay,
is
it.
Third Watch. Mercy is Nurse Jackie without the goodness.
Okay.
Yeah. She's an Iraq nurse, vet. She's an Iraq vet nurse who comes back to her inner city hospital to work, and she's changed, man. She's got a new
attitude. She's grizzled now.
She's grizzled. You're a doctor. Your job is to save people. You have to work harder. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jason Alexander of Seinfeld is 50 years old today. I am just chomping at the bit for the Seinfeld reunion on Curb Your Enthusiasm this season.
Oh, I know.
I was watching the first episode. I was like, no, not this one. Okay. Just hurry up.
That's all we care about.
That's all I care about.
I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Yeah. How happy is he that they're having a Seinfeld reunion on Curb Your Enthusiasm? Yeah. Singer Andy DeFranco is 39 years old today. Singer, rapper, producer, record head Jermaine Dupri is 37 years old. Eric Estrada of O-Town is 30. What?
Yeah, Eric.
That's Eric Michael Estrada, not the good Eric Estrada.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He is 30 years old. And Bruce Springsteen, the boss, celebrates his 60th birthday. The boss is 60.
How about that?
He's 60.
He is.
And he still rocks hard. What was it, the Super Bowl he did the live
with
him last
year? Super Bowl halftime show. He's amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah.
I wonder
crotch cam in effect.
Is it a real kind of holiday in New Jersey today?
Oh, absolutely.
People taking work off.
They've closed the banks. There's no mail service. They're all just going to go down to Ashbury and walk the boardwalk. Look for that fortune teller lady. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. 106.7 is K-Rock.
World famous K-Rock. Had trouble with that last part of the mac and cheese, I guess. It's 627. Look, I love the fat. You know that. I mean, I'm heading there myself. I'm down with fat people. I understand that it's our world. I understand that we're taking over, right?
Sure.
But it's amazing all the different ways, all the different things I didn't think about that have to be changed as people all over the world get bigger, particularly in places like the U.S. and Britain. They're talking about making seats on trains and airplanes bigger. Mm-hmm. They're talking about, obviously, all clothes need to be bigger. They're talking about making doors wider. There's a stadium, a soccer stadium in England right now, Birmingham's LG Arena, which is getting a huge revamp. And one of the things that they're doing is they're replacing all the seats with wider seats. 14,000 seats in the place, they're making them wider because people just don't fit in them anymore. It's estimated that 77% of the men in West Midlands, which is where this arena is, are obese. 62% of the women.
Wow. Oh, have got us beat. We have got to eat.
We wanted to find out more about this story, and we've got an expert from that part of Great Britain on the phone. Nigel Butterwick is the chairperson for the Big Beautiful Birmingham. Now, that is Nigel, first of all, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
I think Nigel may not be on the phone.
Yeah, I'm having trouble getting him on the line.
Oh,
do you
we
think
had.
He's off.
He's probably getting something to eat. I would imagine Nigel is. But I mean, that's you're starting to get into some money right there if you got to replace 14,000 seats with bigger seats just for fans.
Well, I have been to stadiums where the seats seem kind of strangely narrow.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I'm not at all surprised that in some places they'd have to do that. But train seats and plane seats and doorways.
You know, the story that I heard last year that really brought it into focus is how many new coffins they were having to build. Because literally people could not be buried in the coffins that were available at funeral homes.
Oh, my God.
Hey, if we can't get Nigel on the phone, maybe we can just have him come in.
Wait. Maybe Mike's got it figured out.
Do we have Mr. Butterwick?
I think so.
Hello.
Nigel?
Yeah.
Where were you, buddy? We were trying to get you on the phone a couple of minutes ago.
I lost my phone in the folds under my breasts.
Oh, really?
That's unfortunate.
I was trying to... I heard it ringing.
Yeah.
And I knew it was ringing, but I couldn't find it in my folds anywhere.
I see.
So sometimes I lose things in the folds of my fat.
Fat, right, yeah. What is your organization? I'm sorry, I'm unfamiliar with Big Beautiful Birmingham.
BBB.
Right.
Big, beautiful Birmingham.
And are you pro or against fat?
I personally am pro fat.
Pro fat.
Yeah. And we were one of the organizations that got them to enlarge the seats at LG Arena.
Oh, I see. So you're part of the reason they've got to spend £29 million to renovate that stadium.
Yes, because it's a popular music venue in Birmingham. And we're couldn't enjoy our favorite musical acts while sitting in the tiny, narrow seats.
I see. Well, it looks like you win because they're definitely making those changes. But, I mean, I would think that at some point, I don't know how large you are, Mr. Butterwick, but it has to be a health concern.
Nope. I don't care about health as long as I have lots and lots of caramel.
Well, caramel does make the world go round.
I love caramel sauce. I pour it on everything.
I see.
And I just had a grapefruit covered in caramel just this morning for breakfast.
That seems bad.
Well, until you tried it, I wouldn't knock it, young lady. And okay. And if you'd really like a treat, I can cover myself in caramel for you, and then we can
very
do
sexy.
It, you know, all day long, sex.
Very sexy.
How many jars you reckon that would take?
A vat.
I see.
Wow.
How? I don't mean to get personal because I know you're a spokesperson for the group, but how big a man are you, Nigel?
I am just a shade under 100 stone.
Well, that's not possible. You can't be 100 stone.
Why not?
Because wouldn't that be 1,400 pounds or something?
That's exactly right. That's what it translates to into your measurement scale.
1,400 pounds?
Yeah.
That's got to be a record.
Well, I'm big boned. I carry it well.
I'm sure you do.
And so I am currently here at the arena testing out the new seats to make sure they fit.
Oh, okay.
And let me try one. Now,
these are the new big ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
It should be much more comfortable.
Oh, no.
What happened?
No. I snapped it in half.
Oh.
You just broke a brand new chair.
Yeah, let me try this one.
Well, don't break another one if it can't support your weight, Nigel.
I think this one's got it. I think it's
okay.
No, that's not going to work. No, it's a funny thing. Steel is not a steady structural material.
There's steel?
No, you can't do anything with steel.
No.
It's pretty flimsy.
They got to find some better building equipment.
Yeah, that's clearly on them.
I think they should be made of granite.
Well, good luck with that. I hope that works out.
I think I'm having a heart attack right now.
Oh,
dear God.
No, I just swallowed a puppy.
Oh. Who's ready for some Kevin and Bean Afro calls?
Absolutely.
323-520-AFRO. We always appreciate hearing from you. That's an answer machine that's up and running 24 hours a day. And occasionally, listeners will leave what I think is an audition for a new Kevin and Bean show jingle. Let's see if we like it.
I'm in.
Thank you for the effort. Last Saturday, unfortunately, it didn't fall on a weekday this year, so we were not able to properly give Talk Like a Pirate Day its due, but you can imagine the Afro line was buzzing with these kind of calls.
Hey, what does a pirate use to navigate? A Garmin. I'm funny when I'm high.
To you.
Of course, everybody on this show loves the hot Cheetos.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
And that's what this call is about.
I had hot Cheetos 2 days in a row, and my booty is burning.
That happens.
My booty might be burning.
That's right. That's one of my favorite foods in the world is the hot Cheetos, by the way. I think they comprise about 25% of my actual diet. So. Here is a complaint, I think, from this listener about the quality of the guests that we've been having on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, you guys suck. What we need is more Dozo, more the Armenian comedian, and more of that crazy religious guy. I forgot his name. Anyway, we need more of that. You guys suck. Oh, by the way, Lisa May. No, I'm just kidding. I love you.
Wow. I wonder what that was about.
I wonder what that was.
So, more Armenian comedian, more Doto, more Gerald Pauly is basically what he's asking for. So, ratchet up the crazy on the show would make him happy.
He's one of Kevin's people.
Speaking of Kevin, here's a fan of Kevin calling on the Afro line.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I've been listening to your podcast the last couple of days, and I don't know, something's different. The show's it's good. I don't know. I don't know what you did, but if I figure it out, I will. I'll get back to you.
See, because Kevin's on vacation this week, but wait till you hear how good it is next week when I'm on vacation. Then you're really going to be happy.
Yep.
In fact, here's an actual Bean fan calling in.
Hey, I just want to call and say that, like, I'm, like, so in love with you, Bean. Like, you're just, like, so sexy and so awesome. Like, I just want to know, like, what do you like in your sandwich? Because I really like mustard. You want mustard? Like, I really want to put mustard all over your body and lick it everywhere. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, what's going on there, guys?
Hand
is, that the weed talking, or what's happening?
That's an awesome chick.
Yeah. The best you'll ever do.
Yeah,
I hope it was a chick. I wasn't sure, by the way.
Guarantee she's not hot, though.
Yeah.
How dare you? We're going to be very happy together. This is a treat, by the way. Every once in a while, an actual celebrity will call the Afro Line, and we heard from Kanye West.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm going to let you guys finish, but Big Boy in the Morning was a better show this year. Sorry.
Oh.
The whole year?
Wow. Of course, in Southern California right now, nothing but fires, nothing but the hottest weather of the whole year. It's crazy. It's almost October now. It's like a million degrees out, and I think that's what this call's about.
He shoots, he scores! Hot enough for you, folks? It must be 1,000 degrees out there. Yep, it's summertime, and the whales are sizzling. The fish are popping, and the DJ is high. I hope you're all as cool as I am.
Wow.
I think that was a complete recreation of Kevin's appearance on Married with Children.
Hot enough for you, folks? It must be 1,000 degrees out there.
Good times. As you know, we have been following with great interest the five-month series on the Extra TV show. Mario Lopez is over there, and he's got something called the Great Puppy Hunt.
Mario's Great Puppy Hunt.
And our listeners seem to be getting on board with helping us out with that.
Mario likes big black...
Oh.
And again?
Mario makes me wanna poo.
Oh, and one more?
Mario's Great Puppy Hump.
Oops.
Got that.
Yeah.
Speaking of fires, by the way, here's a caller with some concern over the local news coverage.
Hey, guys, I was just watching the Channel 4 news. They were covering a brush fire, and I saw a Channel 4 news truck, and Chuck Henry was nowhere to be found. Where is stupid truck Chuck? Hello?
All right, that gives us the opportunity to replay a great piece of tape from a couple of years ago. Chuck Henry, who works for KNBC, Channel 4 in Los Angeles, apparently did not move his vehicle, his station vehicle, when the fireman asked him to. He decided that he was going to be a hero, and he was going to stay up on the mountain, and he was going to continue covering the fire. And you can predict what happened. The truck completely burned up. All the equipment burned up, thousands and thousands of dollars, and Chuck somehow didn't see it as his fault.
I feel so badly for the people... lost their possessions. You know, the truck, who cares? Stupid truck with a bunch of equipment in it. I was inside the truck. I tried to get it start. Wouldn't start. I jumped out of the driver's seat, and all there was flames. I saw Lee. He was outside. I couldn't see where to go. He just said, hey, Chuck, and he's calling at me. It was a fireman. And I just ran in his direction. He grabbed me, and he literally threw us in the back of his truck.
I don't think they send Chuck out to the fire lines anymore, but... one of the funniest things that ever happened on TV. So thanks for reminding us of that. You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line anytime you want at 323-520-AFRO. A quick break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up next on the Kevin and Bean. Hey, by the way, we've already world premiered and played for a second time the brand new song from Foo Fighters called Wheels. But if you're a slacker and you're just now joining the program, you woke up late or whatever, we're going to play it for you again coming up next. How about that? Brand new Foo Fighters from the Greatest Hits record. It is called Wheels. Did you get a chance to hear it last hour?
It's awesome. I did.
I'm so good.
So glad Tom Petty's making music again.
Anyway, we'll hear that coming up right now. It is Wednesday. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, in case you wanted to attend the Michael Jackson This Is It documentary limited release,
no.
Wanted to give you some heads up. This Is It, of course, the documentary about Michael rehearsing for his This Is It concert.
This will be it.
That's it?
You had enough of that?
That was it.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it. It's a documentary.
Am I a bad person that I have no interest in seeing this movie at all?
No.
It doesn't
no.
make you a bad person.
Not at all.
Oh, okay. Actually, that's not what makes you a bad person. No. some people do want to see it, I think. It is going to be only in theaters for 2 weeks. You have to buy tickets in advance. Locally, it will be playing at the Regal Cinemas LA Live Stadium 14 Theaters, which I'm assuming is down there at LA Live by the Staples Center.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You have to purchase tickets. Let's see. When does it begin? Thursday, September the 24th.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow at 5 p.m. That's where you can line up and begin buying your tickets for the one of LA's first showings. October the 27th is the date. This is interesting because of the 25 locations all over the world that's showing the movie, they're all going to show the first screening at the same time. So the LA screening is going to be at 6 p.m. local time. It'll be 1 a.m. in London. 12 a.m. in New York, 4 a.m. in London. I mean, that's it's all going to play at the same time all over the world. So
he's weird even in death.
Even in death, yes. So you can check out This Is It. Have you seen the Tyler Durden? WhatWouldTylerDurdenDo.com is one of our favorite websites, WWTDD.com. They've got a shot of Katy Perry filming her newest music video.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
And it's an on-the-set shot while they're filming it. And there is a dude whose job, apparently, is to fluff up Katy Perry's breasts.
Yay! Really?
She is soaking wet in a fountain, wearing a skimpy dress that is very clingy, naturally, because it's soaked through.
Oh.
And there's a dude whose job is just to walk into the shot in between filmings and just to perk up her breasts in her skin-tight, soaking wet dress. Just to make them look perky. He runs in and he just fluffs her boobs up and then he runs out and then he shoot again.
Does he make sure they're like even?
Well, here's the photo. You check it for yourself. He's got his hands under both of her cans and he is kind of judging them, making sure they look good, fluffing them up, and then wow. Moving on. That's his job.
Is she requesting a nipply photo? Is that what he's trying to accomplish there?
Not a nipply photo, but just to get her boobs.
I think just situated even
and perky, yeah. And up. Yeah, she's got large breasts.
Because there's no straps.
She's got no straps and no bra on underneath, right. This dress. It is, you can see through it.
You know, things can shift during,
right.
Movement.
And I guess they don't want them to be flattened out, so they puff them up in between shots.
Oh, my God.
They insist that a gay guy have that job, right?
Of course.
Because otherwise it's creepy.
Right.
Yeah, he's gay. Or is he? If I was trying out for that job, I would say, yes, I'm gay. Sure. Hi. My name's Lance.
Is he gay or genius?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just saying that job exists. You can check out the photos for yourself at WWTDD.com if you're so inclined.
So he has the best job in the world.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's a job in show business.
Yeah.
Wow.
Katy Perry's boob fluffer.
That's a good band.
I saw them at the Troop. They were great. And I don't have much time in this showbiz, but we're running a little late. But I do want to get to this story because it is the freakiest story ever in the history of all the entertainment news I've ever reported.
Wow.
Wow.
You tell me if I'm wrong.
I don't know how you're going to top Katy Perry's boob fluffer, I'll tell you that.
Don't know if you're familiar with an actress named Mackenzie Phillips.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
She was a star of a very popular sitcom that was on, I guess, in the 70s?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Called One Day at a Time.
Rose to original fame in American Graffiti.
Right.
That
she
was
had
a big breakthrough
she
role.
She had a big role in that. One Day at a Time starred her and Valerie Bertinelli,
right.
The former Mrs. Van Halen, played her sister on that show. And she was pretty popular. She had a long history with drug abuse. Mm-hmm. Well, now maybe we know why. She has written her autobiography, and in the book, she details a relationship with her father, who famously was a member of a very popular 60s pop rock group called the Mamas and the Papas. His name was John Phillips, and she tells the story, here I'll quote from the book, on the evening of my wedding, she was going to be married at 19 years old to one of the Rolling Stones entourage, guy worked with the Stones. My father showed up, determined to stop it. I had tons of pills, and my dad had tons of everything, too. Eventually, I passed out on Dad's bed. She's 19 years old at the time. My father was not a man with boundaries. He was full of love, and he was sick with drugs. I woke up that night from a blackout to find myself having sex with my own father.
Oh,
ew.
My God.
No.
Ew.
Now, after the event, she said she confronted him and said, "We need to talk about the night that you raped me." He said, "You mean the night I made love to you?"
Oh, God.
At that point, boys and girls, they entered into a consensual sexual relationship that lasted for about 10 years.
No.
He's dead now.
God. Yes.
Which may be one reason why she feels free to share this story, because that would have, I mean, he would have been a pariah had this come out while he was still alive.
Yeah.
But why did she have consensual sex with her father for 10 years?
I can't tell you the answer.
Was he that isn't good for you.
Was he her drug connection or something? And maybe that's what it was?
No, like they entered into a, by all accounts, loving sexual relationship.
But she
girls want sex just as much as guys do.
That's right.
Doing drugs the entire time.
Exactly. She was not straight when this was going on.
Probably not enough drugs in the world.
One night, Dad said, "We could just run away to a country where no one would look down on us. There are countries where this is an accepted practice. Maybe Fiji."
God.
Yeah. So,
No! Man. No!
That's a story, right?
Yeah.
Ready and sex.
Yeah.
So. I sort of have a boner.
Oh, come on.
That's not right.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's just freaky weird. I mean, you hear about molestation and stuff all the time, but then to have been molested and then say, yeah, okay, this is something I want to pursue is wow, that's skewed.
We may need to put in a request for Miss Phillips. We may need her as a guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah,
that's freaky enough to talk about for sure. That's one of the call-in topics I don't want to do on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way.
Yeah.
Nope,
sex with your parents?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Jermaine Dupri, rapper, producer, record head. He is 37 years old today. Annie DeFranco celebrates her 39th birthday. Chai McBride, very talented actor from Boston Public and Pushing Daisies, is 48 years old. Jason Alexander, who, of course, famously was on Seinfeld with Jerry Seinfeld. He is 50 years old.
Freddie Spears' first husband, too, remember?
Different Jason Alexander. Same name, different dude. Although, how much does he wish it was the other way around?
Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
He was the lucky husband, by the way, Jason Alexander.
Yeah, he got out the weekend, right? 18 hours or something.
Got her when she was smoking hot.
That's right.
Right? He was married to her for, I don't know, 55 hours.
55 hours, yep.
Or in Vegas.
Yeah.
Had the long weekend of wedded bliss.
Right.
Then, boom, it was over.
And
he moves on.
And came away with a couple bucks, too.
Yeah. He scored. And Bruce Springsteen, the boss, celebrates his 60th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and we hope that is largely a positive for you. We hope that you get good things returned to you as a result of listening to the program. That is not always the case. In fact, we're going to welcome Kevin and Bean listener Bonnie, who we actually read about in the newspaper. That's how we found out about Bonnie. And apparently she is a longtime Kevin and Bean fan and has a bone to pick with us. And she's on the phone right now. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Bonnie, thank you so much for the big shout out in the newspaper. We really appreciate it.
Oh, sure.
Bonnie, what did we do? How did we fail you?
Well, about a year and a half ago, I was driving to work, and I was, of course, listening to the show. And you guys were doing some parody on Tom Cruise and Scientology, and I was just busting up. I was practically crying. And obviously not aware of my surroundings, because a CHP officer rolls up behind me, following very closely, lights and siren on, the whole thing. So I pull over, and, of course, he rolls up to the window, and he asks, you know, do you know how fast you were going? And, of course, I, you know, guess really low, and he said, I say, you know, 75, and he says, well, yeah, you were at first. And he goes on to tell me that he'd been following me for several miles, that he at first, you know, was going to kind of let me off. He was just going to follow behind me and see if I slowed down, which, of course, I did not. And then he flips on his lights, getting ready to pull me over, and I still am not really paying attention. At that point, you know, I decide, I guess, to speed up. I don't know why. And at about 90 miles an hour, he finally thinks he's on a high-speed pursuit, and he flips on the whole sirens and pulls me over. I finally snap to it and managed to get over to the side of the road.
Did you, when he rolled down the window, go, officer, 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 don't be glib. Did you say that to him?
No. Not quite.
So you were so engrossed in what you were listening to on the radio, you did not even realize that you were in a high-speed chase with a police officer.
Wow.
So did you offer up any kind of explanation? Were you thinking clearly enough to try to wiggle your way out of it at all?
No. You know, when he told me, you know, when he came up behind me and, you know, he was, you know, really, he was like practically guns drawn, you know, ready to, you know, throw down. I think I just kind of shut up and listened.
Yeah. By the way, the reason Bonnie was in the newspaper, if you're wondering how we read about her story, is that she listens to the Kevin and Bean Show, if you can picture this, Ralph, for a 90-mile one-way commute every morning.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
90 miles. Is that where do you live and what city do you work in?
I live in Santa Clarita. I work in San Bernardino.
How about that?
Wow. You need to move.
Yeah.
We've thought about it, but no, it's all good.
You might as well take a job in Vegas.
her husband, by the way, has a 1 minute commute. She has a 90-mile commute.
That's so
no wonder they're not moving.
Yeah.
So how about that?
A little bit of conflict there.
So, Bonnie, so Kevin would be basically responsible for getting a big old ticket, and there's not much we can do for you after the fact, obviously, because you already had to pay the thing. But we do want to offer something back to you. So we have asked our friend Richard Sunflower, who joins us in the studio now, if there's a little song of apology or something that he can give you to at least put a smile on your face after this tragic incident. Hi, Dick. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, Dick.
We're good.
Do you have something for Bonnie this morning?
Sure. Here we go. We're sorry about your high-speed chase, but we'll make it up to you with violent sex.
What?
With violent sex.
She's really looking for violent sex, Rich.
All right. Well, there's the offer.
Huh.
Right.
Okay.
Bonnie, thanks for listening.
If I were you.
Yeah, you should pass. I don't think that's a good offer. Thank you for listening. Thanks for coming on. And hang on. If we have a Kevin and Bean t-shirt, I want to make sure we send one out to you, too, for being such a great thing.
Make up for it, Bean.
We really appreciate it. All right, hang on.
We can't help it if we're so good that even police sirens and lights can't distract you from our show. We can't help that. Don't hate us because we're beautiful.
Here's the topic on the table. We want to hear from you if you can tell us how the Kevin and Bean Show negatively influenced your life. We hear stories all the time.
Isn't that everyone who listens?
Well,
yeah, aside from the fact that.
We hope that there are people who get something good out of the show, too, beyond, you know, we hope there's some entertainment value in the program. But there are so many people, Ralph, we hear all the time, we have to do this topic every once in a while, from people who are really, like, chastised for having us on at work, for instance, because it's clearly inappropriate for the workplace.
Yeah.
In fact, we got an Afro call just the other day at 323-520-AFRO, somebody who called. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about. She's a Kevin and Bean fan. She thinks she's happy with it. Then she realizes it makes her a bad person with the rest of the world.
Like many people, the Kevin and Bean Show has ruined my life. Here, let me tell you how. I was at a funeral for a family friend, and the minister said that they had grown up in Glendale, to which I uttered under my breath, "Glendale." And then my young cousins heard me, so they started laughing, and then that made me start laughing. So then I got the death look from my mother. Then much later, the person said, and his best friend, Eric, and of course I had to go, "Yeah, Eric." And of course, then I got in trouble again. You guys suck.
Yeah, we do.
Listen, that happens to us too. Although not at a funeral.
We have talked about that before. There's some things that you're just used to saying because they're kind of in the popular vernacular of the Kevin and Bean Show, and then you get outside our little bubble here, and all of a sudden nobody else gets it or thinks it's funny.
Yeah.
So that's what happens.
Sorry.
So we want to know how we ruined your life. You listened to the Kevin and Bean Show, and now maybe you wish you didn't. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls. A quick break. We return right after this. 106.7 KROQ is KROQ. It is 727. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, perhaps to your detriment. That's the topic on the table this morning at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a perfect example of how listening to the Kevin and Bean Show gets somebody in trouble.
All right.
A listener, Mena, writes in and says, "I went to see G.I. Joe, and every time something Asian happened on the screen, I couldn't stop myself. I yelled out, 'Hi!'"
See, look,
everyone looked at me like I was an idiot.
If you've got social Tourette's, it's not our fault.
But that's what we're talking about. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, I should have looked at these ahead of time.
Don't pick a line!
Well, let's start with Kathleen. She is on line 6, calling in to complain about the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kathleen. Thanks for holding on. What's your story?
Hey, guys.
15 years ago when I was a senior in high school, I went to the Puffy Taco in Whittier for the Cinco de Mayo Festival, where you dropped a pinata full of sour cream. I ditched school to go to that. Because I ditched school, I got a D, and I couldn't go to college.
Are you kidding?
Oh, come on. From missing one day of school, you couldn't go to college?
Well, it was the final day I could miss, and I missed it. And I.
So you had missed a bunch of days before this.
Yeah, I did.
But we were the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back. All right, we can't do anything about you having to hook now because you couldn't get an educated job. But we do have our friend Richard Sunflower, who's got a little apology song for you. Dick?
We're sorry you failed out, but you're a woman, so you probably wouldn't have amounted to anything anyway.
No, there's the upside.
Thank you very much.
Miss out.
Do you remember Jason Schwartzman had a very similar story? He was in college, and I think it was Ralph Showbiz. Was that what it was that he didn't?
No, no. It was Breakfast with Bush is what he didn't want to miss. So he, sat in his car and missed first period and ended up getting an F
missed
or something like that because of it.
And failed the class.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, let's try Chris. He's on line three. How did the Kevin and Bean Show ruin your life? That's the topic. Hey, Chris, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? So a couple months ago, I work early in the morning, and I'm supposed to be at work right now. I'm kind of late.
once again, we've ruined your life.
Exactly. But we've always had internet on our computers at work, but we're not really supposed to go on there. We're supposed to be on there for, you know, work purposes. I'm trying to, you know, get around the rules. I want to look at the Kevin Bean website.
Okay.
Very first time I go on it. This little Adobe thing pops up, and all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, no. So I close it down real quick. I'm paranoid. I don't want my superiors to see that I'm on the internet or whatever.
Sure.
2 minutes later, not more than 2 minutes later, I get pop-ups all over the place. My computer is flooded with viruses. And now not only does everybody in my department not have the internet, not have access to the internet, but we have to have everything approved by superiors now.
Oh, wow.
Because all I wanted to do was listen to you guys in the morning. Yeah.
All right. We can't do anything about the virus, although that problem has been fixed. The website is absolutely safe now. But we do have an apology song for you with our friend Richard Sunflower.
We're sorry we gave you a virus, but go to two guys, one horse, and it'll make up for it.
Don't go there.
And protect your computer.
No, it won't protect your computer, and don't forget
how
website.
That works. All right,
you know,
Chris, thank you for
calling. Not only gives you a virus, but once I was giving people STDs.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, that's way bad. Let's try Becky on line four, please. Hey, Becky, thanks for holding on. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Mine isn't exactly life-ruining, but it's definitely a major annoyance. Whenever I tell my two-year-old to do something and he doesn't want to do it, he backtalks me with nope.com.
Yes. Wow.
He's two, and he's already on the nope.com bandwagon.
That's
fantastic. All right, Dick, do you have something for Becky, please?
You're 2 years old. Sounds pretty awesome. I expect big things from that young man.
Yeah, it's a positive today. All right, let's end with, let's try Dave on line six, see what kind of trouble we got him into. Hi, Dave, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead.
Hello, Ralph. I've been waiting for so long to tell you this.
Oh boy. What did I do?
You recommended the worst movie I've ever seen in my whole life.
Beer for My Horses?
Norbit?
Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep was awesome!
Bubba Hotep was horrible.
Oh, God. You're
and
so wrong.
My wife took me on my birthday, so I wasted my birthday to see that horrible.
Bruce Campbell as an elderly Elvis in a nursing home fighting mummies.
I can see where it's not for everyone.
It was awesome.
Yeah, Dave, I'm sorry. That was on you, dude. If you didn't enjoy Bubba Hotep, you shouldn't be listening to this program. I'm sorry, dude.
I like Bubba Hotep.
Great.
All right, well, let's see if Dick can ease the pain a little bit. Dick Sunshine, do you have something for our final caller, please?
Dave's a douche. I saw that flick. It was pretty awesome. so I side with Ralph.
Okay, there we go. Thanks, son. All right, let's take a look at the crime beat. We head out now once again to Florida.
Florida?
Where so many of the weird stories come from. This is a guy named Keith Griffin, Lisa May, who was booked last month on possession of child pornography. 10 counts of possession of child pornography, which is just tragic and awful and inexcusable. They have added now an additional 90 charges of child porn against the man.
Wow.
His excuse? That his cat downloaded the porn.
Oh, come on. What?
Here is what he said, apparently with a straight face to investigators. Mr. Griffin, how come you have all this child porn on your computer? He says, I was downloading music, and my cat jumped on the computer keyboard and somehow must have downloaded the porn onto my hard drive. Now, that seems...
Oh, come on. I can't... I have trouble downloading stuff when I'm trying.
It seems, shall we say, a little unlikely.
You
and
think?
I don't know necessarily that that's going to fly. I don't think that defense is going to get him off, no pun intended. But we thought we got more questions for Mr. Keith Griffin. So we have him. Producer Alex is able to line him up. We have him on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Griffin, are you there, please?
Oh, come on.
Oh, are you... Is this... Is this Keith's cat?
Well, hello?
Maybe the cat was capable of doing it if he could answer the phone.
Oh, that's a good point. Yes.
Yes, we're here. What's your name, Kitty?
My name is Morris.
Oh, of course.
Morris. Okay. All right.
Sure.
So, what about what Keith says that he was just innocently on his iTunes and all of a sudden you downloaded this filthy, horrible child porn onto his hard drive?
Keith isn't home. You want to talk to Keith? He's not home.
Yeah, he's in jail, right?
Yeah.
He's in jail.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell us what happened that day that all that porn ended up on his computer?
I am kind of mad that Keith said I did that because I think it's disgusting.
Oh, you do?
Child pornography is bad.
It is bad. Yeah. No one wants that. Right? So what happened?
Dear God, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Morris?
Morris.
I'm just looking something up on the computer.
It sounded like you were enjoying it quite a bit. What are you looking at?
Hotkittens.com.
Oh, I see. Oh,
you can type, by the way.
Oh, that's like a month-old kitten.
Oh, Morris. No, that is not sexy at all.
Oh, hot young kittens. Oh, I had a saucer of milk for you.
Okay, this is, I think they need to arrest the cat while we're at it, by the way. Now what? What are you doing now?
Hairball. Oh, sorry.
That's unfortunate.
No, I would never look at anything like that.
Well, you just did. You were just looking at the hotkittens.com.
But they're cats.
Right?
He had kids.
Okay, so that's different. That's where you draw the line.
Different. I mean, I'm a cat. I mean, right. I like to look at other pussies on the computer, you know?
Cats, right?
Cats, yes.
But to get... What?
who's there with you, Morris?
That's Omar.
Who's Omar?
Omar's watching me while Keith's in jail.
Oh, I see. You got here at somebody else's house.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
But to look at kids is disgusting.
It is gross. Yeah. I agree. It's, yeah. Uh-oh. You don't go back on the computer.
Now what
Morris.
Are you doing?
Oh, hotpuppies.com.
Oh, no. Oh. Wait, you're crossing species lines.
I like interracial porn.
Oh, come on, Morris. This is very unpleasant.
Sounds like a cat next door that I had last night.
Okay, that's enough, Morris.
You know what's going to happen to Keith?
What? Oh, they're going to play him off.
Yeah. He's going away for a long time.
It sounds like you got used to the internet until he gets out of prison, I guess. All right. Thanks, Morris. Kevin Bean Lister, Zombie Matic writes in, Ralph, the problem with the story in Florida that we were talking about a few minutes ago, I don't know if you have a chance to hear it or not, it's a very plausible defense with the cat. He was obviously looking for kitty porn.
Oh!
The cat was looking for kitty porn and accidentally typed in kitty porn. I mean, that makes so much sense.
Oh!
Playing that email right off.
She got played off.
I think I buy the story. All right, strap yourselves in because the show is about to take off. It's going to be a rocket ride because the Roastmaster General, Jeffrey Ross, is going to be joining us in about 10 minutes or so. Here
he's a madman.
Are you actually constructed of cheese? If we were to pull a piece of like your limb off, rip it off, would it just be like Gouda?
I'm saying the program is going to take off with comedy flames underneath. That's
if
what
you
I'm
cut
telling.
Him, he bleeds Velveeta. That's how cheesy Bean is.
Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday. What's going on?
Quick correction before I get to new showbiz news. I mentioned about the Michael Jackson This Is It documentary. That tickets went on sale tomorrow, September the 24th at 5 p.m. That is incorrect. You're allowed to start lining up
for
tickets tomorrow at 5 p.m. outside L.A. Live if you want to go to the Regal Cinemas at the LA Live Stadium 14 theaters down there. They're going to be showing the movie on all 14 screens when it finally airs on October the 27th. But the tickets actually go on sale Sunday, September the 27th at 12:01 a.m. But if you wanted to line up, if you're a hardcore Michael Jackson fan, you can start lining up on Thursday at 5.
Does everything have to be hype-filled with Michael Jackson, even in death?
Yes. To answer your question.
Too many hoops. I'm not going to see that movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa.
Nope. If you can't just put it in a movie theater and I can't just go buy a ticket and go, then
this is not
screw
it
you.
For you. Then this is
it's not for me. You're right.
This,
not
this will be it. This is not it. When I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Not it.
I'm sure it'll be on DVD by Christmas. I think we can wait.
I think so too.
I don't think they'll ever put it on DVD. I don't think they care about the money. It's about the art.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what the Jackson family's famous for.
That's right. That's what they're all about. Kevin Federfat.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Kevin Fatterline. No, I'm sorry. Kevin Fatass Erline. No, it doesn't even work. He apparently is tired of packing on the pounds. He is ready to take them off.
For a price.
For a price and for publicity's sake. According to TMZ.com, the former husband of Britney Spears has shown up on the set of Celebrity Fit Club.
Holla at yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Federline! Of course, that is the VH1 reality show where celebrities band together and try to lose weight all in the name of charity and self-aggrandizement.
Look, I'm only aware of him because he's a celebrity and we see his pictures on TMZ.com, but rarely have I seen a guy gain so much weight so fast. It's like he's intentionally putting it on to play a boxer in a movie or something.
It's like he has an illness.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't gain that much weight that fast if I tried. And believe me, I try.
You could.
I don't think so.
You could.
If you smoked enough pot.
It's dude, true. He's gained, I bet he's gained 90 pounds since he was married to Brittany.
Yeah, it looks like about 100 pounds.
He is a completely different person, especially when he was like a backup dancer, when he was still actively working. It's unbelievable, these pictures of him lately.
That how hard do you have to work to put on that kind of weight?
Bean's right, though. You have to actively try.
Caloric intake would must be just massive. And probably selection of foods, too.
Yeah,
right. A lot of it's booze weight, I'm sure. And ho-ho weight.
And also, I'm sure a lot of it is a complete change in lifestyle right at the wrong time. When he was transitioning from early 20s into now he's probably looking at about 30.
And your metabolism
starts
to slow down.
It just changes. It makes that shift. But you still have to try really hard to gain that much weight.
Bobby Brown, Nicole Eggert, and Shar Jackson, his original baby mama, is also going to be competing on the show this season. So there's your update. Sunday, this is it. This is it. This is it. This is really it. This is it. Sunday is going to actually be the actual wedding of the actual Khloe Kardashian and the actual Lamar Odom from the LA
Lakers. Sunday!
Have been rumored for some time, but now it's confirmed. 250 of their closest friends will join them at the home of a music mogul pal of theirs, and that's where they're going to have the event. And it's really happening.
That is bizarre.
So far, Kobe Bryant has not responded to his invitation. But all the Lakers have been invited, and all the Kardashians will be there. And then they'll play a little little half court between the Kardashians and the Lakers.
How many cakes does it say?
One for the wedding party.
Right.
And then six for Khloe.
How quickly does Lamar bang Kim? When he starts hanging out in that family and he's, at family dinner and he's looking across the table, he's like,
Courtney,
wow,
too.
Look at that one.
Yeah.
And Kim loves the brothers.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. He, He married the wrong sister. By the way, earlier this morning, we put the office pool together. How long will Lamar Odom's marriage to Khloe Kardashian last? Lisa was the most optimistic in the group. She had 15 months.
Yeah.
The rest of us were all under that.
Yeah. Speaking of the brothers, Quentin Rampage Jackson has announced that he is done fighting.
What?
He's announced today he will no longer be a professional fighter.
What's up with that?
He has had a major falling out with Dana White, president of the UFC. And he said his mixed martial arts career is at an end and his acting career is taking off.
Hmm.
He has just signed to play B.A. Baracus in the feature film version of The A-Team.
Is this for real this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a done deal. And he said he has ended in this decision to walk away from MMA. Going on to a new life. He's tired of the battles with Dana White, who's furious at him for backing out of a fight in order to pursue this acting role. And so he said, screw it, I'm just not going to do it anymore.
Well, I mean, it's a gamble to assume you're going to make it in show business, but I mean, I'm optimistic that he's got the ability to be good on screen. He's a great personality, good-looking kid. I mean, I think he's got some things going in his favor.
I do, too. I think it'll be a big success. I think this A-Team movie will be a nice jumping-off point for him. He could be the new Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Right, right.
He plays his cards right. And lastly, Joe and Nick Jonas have announced they're working hard on the bachelor party for their big brother, Kevin. Apparently, it's been announced it's going to be a family event.
Yeah.
Squeaky clean bachelor party in some place, and I quote them, way cooler than Las Vegas.
Oh, bite me.
Right.
Bite me. Bite me, you ring-wearing mother effers.
First of all, no place cooler than Las Vegas, especially for a bachelor party.
Right.
And if you end up in Branson, Missouri in an RV with the rest of your inbred family watching the Mel Tillis review, I'm gonna firebomb the whole thing.
My bachelor party and one of my marriages.
You didn't have a bachelor party.
I did. There was me and two friends, and we went to the midnight screening of the Elvira movie.
You're worse than Hitler.
Add that to a long list of reasons why you are not a winner.
It was not sexy time, if that's what you're suggesting, as some bachelor parties are.
I still am not allowed to disclose the details of my bachelor party.
Really?
What I did was probably illegal in at least three or four states in the United States.
You had to sign a blood oath that you wouldn't reveal it unless everyone else was dead at the party, right?
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
And speaking of the Jonas Brothers and their promise rings, you know, they wear these chastity rings.
Yeah.
Yes.
To prove that, to symbolize, that they are going to stay virginal until their wedding nights. Mm-hmm. Last night on Jay Leno show, I don't know if you caught it or not, on his 10 p.m. show, he had Pee Wee Herman was on the show, who I haven't seen for a long time. He's talking about his new stage version of the Pee Wee Herman show that he's going to be doing around the country, including here in the Los Angeles area. And he was wearing one of those rings.
Really?
He was wearing his new chastity ring, and Jay Leno was talking to him about it.
It's been a long time. What's new? Oh, you got married.
Oh, no. I didn't get married. It's my abstinence ring.
Abstinence ring. Oh.
Yeah. I'm only 2 days into it.
Wow,
so.
Okay. Well, not easy.
It's not easy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Something creepy about a 50-year-old Pee Wee Herman, by the way.
No!
Sir. Yeah, I saw the circles
denied.
Under his eyes a little bit last night. And
denied.
I still want to go, but I'm a little nervous about how it translates.
I'm not a bit nervous, and I
Me
can't
neither.
Wait.
You are the creepy kettle calling the creepy pot creepy, by the way. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bruce Springsteen, the boss, is 60 years old today. Jason Alexander, George Costanza. From Seinfeld is 50 years old. Andy DeFranco turns 39. And Jermaine Dupri, wildly successful rapper, producer, and record executive. He is 37 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I always think about our relatively new Kansas and Iowa affiliates when we play a song like Sublime's Date Rape. People who may be hearing it for the first time ever thinking, that's what it's all about. That's what we get on the Kevin and Bean show, right?
Yeah.
How about Jeffrey Ross, ladies and gentlemen? How about the Roastmaster General joining us here on the Kevin and Bean show?
Yeah.
Jeff, how are you, my friend?
Feeling good, buddy. Thanks for having
me. Happy New Year, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Shana Tova, everybody.
Tova don't screw it up.
Tova Felshud.
Exactly.
What year are we? 5,000 and what?
This is 5,975.
Wait, it sounds like
Jerry Lewis telethon. I thought we were doing a tally.
Show me the tote board, Ed.
Yeah. I don't know.
Jeffrey Ross's book is in stores now. It is called I Only Roast the Ones I Love. He has been a publicity machine, and you basically have been like a hurricane going through some of these shows that don't usually have guys like you and leaving just damage behind.
Yeah, man. My fans were giving me crap on Twitter this morning because I'm on Bonnie Hunt. And I said, I'll shake it up anywhere. I'll get anybody canceled. I don't care.
I like Bonnie. She's a nice lady.
I do, too.
She's awesome.
She's very funny, too. What happened with you and Al Roker? I didn't see it, but I know you were the Today Show a couple days ago.
I did put it up on my site because it's like the most killer. No one in the history of, and I don't, you know me, I'm not one, I'm usually self-deprecating. Mm-hmm. I'm usually all deprecating. But in this particular case, I thought Al Roker was going to have a heart attack right there on the air. I made him laugh so hard. If you watch the whole clip, it was like the Today Show clip of the week. By the end of the segment, he can't breathe. He can barely pick up my book to plug it. And he goes, the roast. He can't even say roast. I only roast the ones. He's wheezing. And
wow.
It was very gratifying because Al Roker loves the roast. He's been the roast master for the Matt Lauer roast. And I knew he would dig it, and I really creamed him.
You're lucky he didn't bust his stomach band. That could have been a danger.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't think of that.
Could
have been the end of him.
Burst his bypass.
Now, I didn't know if there was going to be the book covers Jeff's whole life. It starts out with, you know, him being a kid and getting into comedy and all that stuff. There's very funny stories. But predominantly, you write about the roast because that's what you're best known for, and that's where you've made your mark. But I was wondering, before I saw the book, whether there was a book in that, because a lot of it is just watching you tell jokes. But the stories that you tell of the stuff that goes on and the reactions that people have afterwards, and of course you quote hundreds of great roast jokes from throughout the years too. It's so entertaining, Jeff. Oh. I didn't even think you were funny until I read this book.
and I didn't think it would. You know what it is? I see roasting as a philosophy, not just like, I don't know, a genre of comedy. I see it as the next like NASCAR or football. It's like a national pastime. You know, people are roasting in their backyards. They're having roasts in their office parties. And I figured if I laid it out for people, like the recipe for a good roast, it'll take over the world.
What's your history with roasting? Because I didn't know. Did you do it before the Comedy Central specials? Or was it something you had done before? Or did that come after it?
Oh, it was just something that happened as a happy accident, as he knows by reading a book. Everything in my life has been by accident. And I was wandering through the Friars Club one day. I got invited over there. And
which, for those who know, is a famous sort of comedians, show business, social club.
And I met Buddy Hackett. He came off the elevator, and I was getting on. And I said, "Mr. Hackett, I'm such a big fan. You're my parents' favorite comedian." And I shook his hand, and I said, "I just want to meet you." And he looked me in the eyes, and he said, "You know who hates farts the most? Midgets." And the elevator door opened up, and he walked off without saying anything else. And I was like, I love this stuff. And a couple weeks later, I got a call to roast Steven Seagal.
At the Friars Club?
Yeah. In front of like 1,200 people.
Wow.
I'm a nervous wreck. This is before you could YouTube and Google what the roasts were. They weren't on TV. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I just...
Yeah, the Friars Club is like a secret society. And you always hear rumors of stories of things that happen that sound incredible, but there was never any proof and no one was ever willing to go on the record. So it's very different today.
Yeah. And it's sort of elevated now into this like super thing. And I don't know. It has a lot of heart, as you found in the book. And
I did. And it's funny, by the way, because you mentioned Mr. Hackett here on the show, and many of our listeners may not even know who he is, but a legendary comedian for 50 years or something. Buddy. Mm-hmm. And he's the comedian's comedian. I mean, all comedians love Buddy Hackett. But, I mean, you're to the point where, you know, you wear his tie for luck. I mean, you just are, it seems like in the book, he's your personal god.
It's interesting. We were very, very tight. You know, it wasn't like a father-son mentoring relationship. He was like a big kid. And I was like a crabby old man. I had a bad back then, and you know, we just sort of hit it off like that, kindred spirits, if you will. And Buddy Hackett, if you ever met him, you'd know that comedy was like number 10 on the things he was an expert on. He knew about women and politics and religion and guns and food, and we'd sit in his backyard and feed the cats and talk about everything, pretty much.
Yeah.
He was great at writing jokes, too, the best. Some of my best jokes in the book, like, were late night phone conversations with Buddy Hackett. One of the ones that comes to mind is we were roasting Jerry Stiller, and Ben Stiller and Janine Garofalo had just put out Mystery Men, and they were on the dais. And Hackett gave me that joke on the phone. You know, Gene Siskel was going to review that movie, but he took the easy way out.
Oh, wow.
Which is hilarious, but he had died that week. And I said, Hack, this is crazy. I can't say that. He goes, no, that's perfect. Right to the line.
So right to the line.
He showed me where the line was.
You write about so many of the famous roasts in the book, everybody from William Shatner to Bob Saget, which was hilarious. Flava Flav, I loved the chapter on the Hugh Hefner roast and the whole story you told about Gilbert Gottfried. It's so, so funny. But has there ever been anyone that after the roast you felt like did not take the material in the spirit of which it was intended, which was, you know, in a loving, positive way? Anyone ever really get bummed out about the roast?
Well, before I really had my philosophies on roasting set, I made some mistakes, and that all comes out in the book. But the one that jumps to mind is when you roast somebody who's not necessarily in the room, and that's when it gets tricky. By the way, I saw Kanye last night, and I got nervous because I made some awful jokes about him at the Joan Rivers roast, and he wasn't there. And it went against my own rules, but the joke was so funny I had to do it. But maybe I shouldn't say it now.
Say it. Say it.
Well, if it's clean, say it.
You
sure.
Guys probably remember I was. And by the way, Kanye is a good sport. You know, he has a sense of humor. And I said, I did all those million jokes about Joan Rivers' plastic surgery. However, right. You know, I said, you know, she looks like Michael Jackson's negative and stuff like that. And just, you know, just ripping on her face and her plastic surgery. And finally, at the end of the whole run, I said, Kanye's mom had a better plastic surgeon.
Oh.
And then I spotted him last night at this Family Guy, you know, Cleveland new show party.
Right.
And
yeah,
I
yeah.
definitely, this is not like me. I got very nervous and I avoided him. It's just not my style. But the only other time I really went too far like that was roasting Rob Reiner, the great director. I went up and I said, I don't even know how to do this. I mean, how do you roast Rob Reiner? How do you embarrass a guy who married Penny Marshall? What was your wedding song? How much is that doggy in the window?
Oh, man.
And, of course, a month later, I'm in Vegas roasting the Maloof brothers. They own the Palms Casino.
Right.
You know, it's just, you know, this is it. And I'm up there, and suddenly, out of the crowd, Penny Marshall leaps to her feet and she starts shouting me down. You know,
oh
like the guy
God.
Who was yelling at Obama, you know, like,
right. yeah.
you lie, you're awful, he's mean, don't listen to him. Like, she's totally, like, heckling me
wow.
to pieces. And it's throwing me off a little bit. And out of the corner of my eye, I see she's coming towards the podium.
Jeez.
She's coming out of the audience. I don't know if she's drunk, if she's just upset. I don't know what the deal, but she's kind of, like, wreaking havoc on my set. And she gets really close, like 10 feet away, and finally I just dropped it. I didn't know how to get rid of her, so I just said, which one were you again, Lenny or Squiggy? And it sat her down, and I lived to see another roast.
Wow.
But, you know, you have to be careful.
Great stories. The book is called I Only Roast the Ones I Love. Jeffrey Ross is the author. He's here with us. By the way, you can meet Jeff. He's doing an in-store. He's doing them all over the country, but tonight is in Los Angeles at the Westwood Border Store.
Tomorrow night,
tomorrow night, starting at 7 o'clock. Now, I understand from following your tweets that you are going to be signing the first, what, 10 in blood, right?
So Abe Pagoda's blood. Abe Pagoda's blood.
Oh, Abe Pagoda's blood. So that is a bonus. That's tomorrow
still
night.
Alive, by the way, Abe Pagoda. He's still alive. Can you
still?
Believe that? Yeah.
Still
people are always
alive.
Shocked by that.
He really
that,
needs
aren't they?
To die.
Yeah, I think it's time for him to change his Facebook status to resting in peace.
The book is awesome. We'll take a quick break. Hang on right there, Jeff, and we'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean. By the way, we world premiered the brand new song from Foo Fighters earlier today. It is called Wheels. We will play that one again for you before the end of the show. Also, we have the host of The Amazing Race, Phil Keegan, coming in, and I think we're going to catch up with our friend Seth Green, who must be on hard times or something because he's promoting Butterfingers candy bars. That's why Seth's calling.
Because they're
so
delicious.
They're the best.
Oh, yeah. I love Butterfingers.
I miss the BBs. Remember the BBs?
Yes.
Oh, Butterfinger BBs.
God, those are awesome.
I used to take them rectally.
In the meantime, Jeffrey Ross is here. He is the Roastmaster General, of course. His new book is in stores called I Only Roast the Ones I Love. Get your copy signed in Abe Vigoda's blood tomorrow at the Borders in Westwood at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. So many great stories. I don't even know in our time remaining. I got to tell you, there was stuff that I thought I knew about that you fleshed out for me in the telling in the book, which is why I'm glad that I read it. I mean, I knew about you and Cousin Sal with the feud. You have told us that story on the air a couple times before, the short version of which is that he texted you on elimination night when you were on Dancing with the Stars and told you you were safe, and you totally believed it right up until the last minute of the show. It was one of the great burns of all time, but it really resulted in an actual fracture between you and Sal's friendship, right?
Right, correct.
What I didn't know, which I found fascinating, was how the story was resolved and how you guys are friends. I didn't know any of that until I read it in the book.
People wouldn't believe me. I had to put a picture in it for people to really believe that the story is true of me and Tom Cruise.
Quick recap for those who don't know the story. Sal. You were on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And it was elimination night. Were you concerned?
Sal texted me. Yeah, I knew I was. I got a 12. You know, I got like the lowest score in the show's history. You know, I always say Heather Mills is when her leg flew off, she got a higher score. When Christopher Reeve did a wheelie in season one and fell out of his chair, he got a higher score. So I get eliminated, and I think I'm going to be safe, and I get eliminated, and you know, it was heartbreaking. And you know, Cousin Sal works at Jimmy's show.
Right.
You know, I figured I was good. They told me I was safe. Right.
You text you text and says me. You're good.
And Buddy Hackett used to say, turn your phone off an hour before the show. Concentrate on the show. I left my phone on. Sal texted me, and I totally hook, line, and sinker. Months
and your whole family's there in the audience. It's a huge night for you.
They're all wearing eye patches in solidarity.
Right.
They got, you know, and it's big. I've been practicing a month and a half, this ridiculous routine in a tuxedo and an ascot with an eye patch. And you know, 23 million people are watching, and I think I'm going to be safe and dance. And I get eliminated, and it's heartbreaking, and they play the video of me, my jaw dropping on Kimmel that night, and they just mock me relentlessly for, you know, believing them. And getting eliminated and having the worst performance in Dancing with the Stars history. Months goes by.
And Sal, you're cheesed off? Were you actually cheesed off at Sal?
Yeah. He tells me I'm safe and I'm eliminated. And I didn't prepare a speech at the end. I was just like, hama, hama, hama. You know, completely caught with my pants pulled down.
Right.
And, you know, Sal was just jealous because there's no show called Dancing with the Cousins of the Stars. Months goes by, and we're not talking. And I'm hardly going up to Jimmy's house for Sunday football. I'm avoiding Sal. Sal's avoiding me. We tried to reconcile a couple times, but we couldn't even agree to disagree. It was just getting ugly every time. I felt like I was getting ganged up on, and my feelings were hurt. And even if I'm being a wuss, you still apologize because that's what friends do.
Right.
Yeah, and he wouldn't even make that small concession to your feelings. He was basically standing firm on, I'm a dick and I love it, basically, right?
Exactly, and he would tell everybody who would listen that he would do it 100 times over because the prank was that funny. And this is a guy who's tortured me many times. I mean, let's not forget, he pushed me in the pool in Adam Carolla's wedding. He wrote all the punchlines to my jokes on my Porsche one year.
Wow, you guys have history.
Oh, yeah, well, we shared an office together at the Man Show and became very close. And anytime he'd ever messed with me, I'd forgiven him. Sometimes it took a while, but I'd always forgiven him. You know, one thing, another Buddy Hackett-ism was... you know, you should always never hold a grudge because while you're holding a grudge, the other guy's out dancing. Mm-hmm. So it couldn't be more appropriate for this case.
Right.
So finally I suck it up and I go up to Jimmy's house to see what he's making on Sunday. It's Sunday football. You know, he's like practically a chef.
Yeah.
And there's Sal. You know, he's kind of nervous and fidgety and I'm a little like put off by it. But there's some tension in the room and... it's not really loving yet, and it's awkward. And out of the blue, Tom Cruise walks in the house. Don't ask me how or why.
I don't have any stories that have that sentence in them.
But, you know, at this point, I'm done sort of being surprised at anything that Kimmel can pull off. Because here he is, Tom Cruise walks in with his mom and a big box of homemade cupcakes.
Oh my God! So, in what world?
At this point, I'm Uncle Frank grabs me by the arm. He drags me over. Hey, Tom, meet my favorite comedian, Jeff Ross. And I'm shaking Tom Cruise's hand, and he remembers me from the Matt Lauer roast we mentioned earlier. Tom Cruise did a surprise cameo.
Right.
He showed up uninvited and just ripped the roof off the place, eviscerated Matt Lauer. It was completely hilarious. And so now here's this like. Superstar in Jimmy's kitchen, eating cupcakes and chicken parmesan and whatever else is cooking on the stove. And Sal sits down next to me for the first time in months, and he whispers in my ear, he goes, "Why don't we let Top Gun decide who's right?" And I'm thinking about it. I go, well, here's a guy, Tom Cruise. He's played so many righteous lawyers. He's going to rule in my favor. Plus, he has on-the-dais experience. So right. He'll be able to differentiate right and wrong between making somebody to their making fun of somebody to their face, like we do at the roast, and pranking somebody behind their back, like Sal did to me.
Right.
Our friend Sarah Silverman gets up on the table, a coffee table, makes a big speech laying out the entire thing. She decides she's going to be moderate. And she lays out both cases very fairly. And within minutes, it becomes this big brouhaha with yelling, screaming, tears, laughter, the whole thing. Tom Cruise is taking it all in like some sort of like metaphysical rabbi or something. He's just absorbing all this information.
He's the Judge Wapner of comedy now.
He's really relishing his role as sort of this mediator. It was really interesting to see. Like, I think he was getting a kick out of it. And at one point, we were arguing back and forth, and Sarah said to Tom's mother, what do you think of all this, Mrs. Cruise? And she just looked at me and Sal, and she said, "I think the two of you are acting like little boys." She winds up getting the biggest laugh of the whole day. And after about an hour of back and forth and a very emotional powwow, ridiculous but emotional, Tom Cruise said, "Listen," he stood up, he leaned over, and he said, "Sal, you've hurt your buddy's feelings, and I think you should apologize." And it was just like, there it was, you know, and Sal got all, you know, suddenly he was like dumbstruck and starstruck at the same time. Sal has never apologized. This is starting a slippery slope for Sal. But it took him about four tries to apologize. He just couldn't do it straight up and sincere. And Tom Cruise kept interrupting him and said, "No, Sal, no disclaimers, no nothing. Just apologize to your buddy." And finally, Sal said he was sorry. And we hugged, and the picture's in the book. And I got to thank Tom Cruise for
saving your friendship.
Saving our friendship. And more importantly, setting Sal on a path to being a full-fledged human being.
Is that a beautiful story? Yeah. I mean, come on.
Happy ending. A roast master never holds a grudge.
And that is one of many fascinating stories in the book. I didn't know about that one, and it was I enjoyed the hell out of it. The book is called I Only Roast the Ones I Love. It is available everywhere. You got to pick it up if you love Jeff's work. It's very, very funny.
That's
you
nice.
Can meet Jeff at the Borders in Westwood at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. I'm sorry we're out of time, but you're going down to see the troops. Please give Kent Pendleton our love and thank him for their service. I know that the troops love you, and you do so much for them. So it's awesome that you're going down
there
today.
It's a partnership. I love those guys.
Yeah. Jeff, you're welcome every time, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin Beach Show.
Thank you, guys.
A trillion is more than a billion numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even
zip it. Look, when a problem comes along, you must zip it.
I know we're going. Back off my jock, okay, dinkus? Dinkus?
Yeah, and they also have an orange Julius.
Is someone going to signal me when we are starting?
What do you want from me, you beaver? What, an autograph or a headshot?
Well, unless you can trade me a clean cup of urine, you can forget it.
Sometimes I just miss the world.
What do you miss the most? But seriously, if anyone can let me know when we're starting, that would be great.
Seth Green.
Seth Green? Seth Green.
That's what I've been saying my whole life.
Yep.
And I'm saying it again here today. F. Seth Green, buddy's on the phone with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Seth, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Good, Seth. Good. What's up, man?
A lot. What's up with you?
Well, I first of all, I want to ask you. I missed the Cleveland premiere party last night.
Yeah, I ran into Jeffrey Ross there. So thanks again, Jeff, for eating into my time on the air.
Yeah. Well, that story was too good to pass up. I mean, we couldn't cut that one off. This was quite a bash.
Wait, sorry, what?
I was saying this was quite a bash. You were there. Jeffrey was there. He told us Kanye West was there. What kind of nonsense was going on late into the night?
You know, that's so funny. I saw Kanye walk in, and I said to my girlfriend, "Oh, my gosh, I think that's Kanye West." And we both looked at the back of him for a second, and we're like, maybe not.
Nah, it wasn't him.
Is that really him? That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Did you...
I should have interrupted his drink order.
That's right. Would have been great. Did you go to the Emmys,
Kanye,
also?
I'm really excited that you want to order a cranberry and vodka, but I just want to say that Jameson is better.
I'm going to let you finish.
I bet that's happening to him everywhere he goes now. He's got to be hitting that. Hey, did you go to the Emmys on Sunday also, Seth?
I did. We went to the Emmys and the technical Emmys the weekend before.
And how was that? Anything fun happen?
Yeah, we lost all of our categories.
Sure, that happened.
Oh, but we got to get dressed up, and we saw a lot of people that we like, and that's always fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show. I don't know what you thought about Neil Patrick Harris, but I thought he was a tremendous host for that show this year.
I completely agree with you. I love Neil. I've known him since he was on Doogie Howser, so it's kind of amazing watching all the peaks and valleys in his career, and he is just so talented, and it's great to see him being received this way.
Yeah, yeah. Seth Green is on the phone, of course. We talk to him often because he has so many great, great things, including The Family Guy, including The Robot Chicken, of course. But you're doing something new and different, even for you, Seth Green. Explain what is going on with Butterfinger.
Well, this is one of those cool things where I got approached by a company. I get approached by people all the time saying, you know, hold this or wear this and say that you like it. But I actually love Butterfinger and have been a big fan of it. So they approached me about doing spokesperson work for them, and I thought that was a really easy thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you talk to the Butterfinger people, can you ask them for me to bring back the BBs?
That's so funny you said that. I have been on them about 6 weeks now about the BBs.
I love the BBs.
I'm pushing, but I like hearing support for it.
Absolutely. I'm behind you in the whole BB campaign.
Thank you.
So what is it they're asking you to do? I mean, are you supposed to slyly work the word Butterfinger into every conversation that you have in media now, or what?
No, I'm not saying that that's my Butterfinger goal, but the Butterfinger result.
Right, sure.
No. It's going to be some fun stuff. Butterfinger's been doing a lot with their website, trying to get people to create their own content and have contests for funny videos, and people can win an actual on-air commercial like their commercial would air, you know?
Oh, that's
and then
cool.
There's cash prizes for stuff, and they just like the stuff that we're doing, and they want to find a way for us to work together. So that's how this all came about.
I got you. Now, Butterfinger has to go on those lists of candy bars that sounds dirty, right? I mean, it really does sound like a sex position as much as it does a food item.
I don't know if you remember this, but a couple years ago, they actually had an April Fool's joke where they printed all the wrappers to just say the finger. And it was like, you're giving somebody the finger.
I don't remember that, no.
I actually have three of those frozen in my freezer.
You truly are a Butterfinger fan.
He's hardcore. I love it. All right.
They just give me a case of it, and they're like, here, do something with this. I'm like, I'm going to eat it.
You're going to end up looking like Kevin Federline by the time the Butterfinger campaign is over. By the way, was that Seth who sent over those Butterfingers to us at the Kevin and Bean Show the other day?
Yeah, we got a big box of them yesterday. Oh, so we appreciate that, Seth.
Okay. All right. That's breakfast for a month. All right, so go out and buy a Butterfinger. By the way, Facebook.com/Butterfinger, Twitter.com/Butterfinger. And are you tweeting also, Seth? Are you going to have Butterfinger fun facts throughout the day on your Twitter?
No, I'm not much of a tweet person. Sometimes I jump in on the Cyborg Turkey tweet, which is the Robot Chicken Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But I typically don't do anything from my own devices.
Gotcha. Too busy eating Butterfingers. All right.
Seth, before you go.
So I usually have my hands full of chocolate.
Seth, before you go, Sunday is the Titan Maximum premiere, right?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because, you know, Ralph is actually in our new show, Titan Maximum, which premieres this Sunday at 11:30 on the Adult Swim.
Well, that's why I brought it up.
He doesn't care about you, Seth.
You self-serving son of a
bitch. Yeah, that's me, buddy.
All right, Seth, always great to catch up with you here on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. Thanks a lot for calling in, all right?
Thanks, guys.
No.
You missed Psycho Mike talking about feces, by the way, while we were off the air.
And it wasn't something it was gross. It
but it was interesting. Yeah.
Linkin Park on 106.7 K-Rock, KROQ. It is 8:59. As promised, Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race, joins us in the final hour of the Kevin and Bean Show today. Plus, we have, if you missed the world premiere earlier today, the new Foo Fighters song is called Wheels. It is awesome. It is very much up to the standards of all great Foo Fighters songs, and we'll play that for you again coming up next. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I used to watch The Interesting Race that was on another network, and The Good Race.
Mm-hmm.
But The Amazing Race is just much better.
It's well, that's the one.
So, it's amazing.
So much. Well, they finally fine-tuned it, I think, is what happened. They
took what they learned from those other so-so shows and turned it into something amazing.
The Mediocre Race, I remember that one. It was kind of mediocre, but amazing.
Yeah, that one didn't even last the whole season. Remember, they canceled that one after like six episodes.
Right, never found out who finished.
I watched the Supreme Race. It was totally different. Had nothing to do with anything. No racing going on at all.
Come on! Let's talk showbiz news, shall we? Here's the interesting thing about Hollywood. Let's take, for example, Diablo Cody.
Let's take her.
Okay. Juno.
Juno.
Thank you, Lisa.
Sorry.
Timing.
Yeah, no
kidding. Was a smash hit, right?
Yes.
Right.
Jennifer's Body, not so much smash.
Right.
Right.
Yet she still, based on the success of her first film, gets pretty much a green light to do whatever she wants. And we just found out what her next project is going to be. A feature film based on the teenage book series of the 1990s, Sweet Valley High.
Yeah! Oh.
Yeah. Do you remember the TV show of Sweet Valley High?
Yeah, with the
the Daniel sisters?
Yep.
Brittany and Cynthia Daniel. This show was not for me. It was on like Saturday mornings or something. It was for 12-year-old girls, but oh, would I watch the hell out of that show. It's two smoking hot blonde twin sisters were the leads in that show.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that's what the books were about as well. Two identical twins who just were different as different could be. One was practical. The other was boy crazy. Yeah, in the fictional town of Sweet Valley. So apparently Diablo's a big fan, and she's going to be turning it into a major motion picture for Universal.
Well, I will tell you, you know I'm a Diablo Cody fan, but
yes.
The problems that I've heard with Jennifer's Body are not about the script, which was her participation. It's about some of the other, directing and some of the other things in the movie that make it less than a success, I think. So it's possible that she's, still got good work to offer.
But it's not just Diablo Cody in general. I mean, if you have one good size hit in Hollywood, you can ride that for years
right.
Before they finally pull your ticket and say, it's no, we're so not giving true. You a chance anymore.
And yeah. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. That's a great example.
I have to make. Before they say no to him.
And I think, I'm not a huge United States of Terror fan, but I think Toni Collette winning an Emmy for that role, I think that, elevates Miss Cody a little bit as well.
Yeah, that show's not good. Let's talk about Mackenzie Phillips, shall we?
Okay.
Let's.
This is an effed up story, people. And Mackenzie Phillips, I know, isn't a star, and I try to, keep to the bigger side of the showbiz news, but this was so fascinating I had to talk about it. She was a star on a sitcom years ago called One Day at a Time in the 70s. Her dad was John Phillips of the Mamas and the Papas. Her sister is China Phillips.
Hey!
No.
No.
China.
She, of course, was in Wilson Phillips. So it's a showbiz family.
Right.
Anyway, Mackenzie Phillips, who has had a drug problem for a long, long time and has had a very interesting life, has finally written a book about her life. And in it, she discloses, for the first time, that she had an incestuous relationship with her father for 10 years.
Oh my goodness, what a fine honor.
Slept with her dad for 10 years.
I just threw up.
Apparently it happened when she was 19. It first happened when her father showed up to try to stop her wedding and decided the best way to do that was to have sex with his daughter.
Did the wedding go on the next day?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay. I sort of have a boner.
Oh, stop it. Anyway, Mackenzie confronted her father about that night and said, let's talk about the night you raped me. He said, you mean the night I made love to you?
No, that just degrasses me.
And, I think we just crossed the lines.
And from that point on, they had a consensual sexual relationship that ended up being 10 years in the duration.
Wow.
Can you not
be a surprise? Let me try that one again, Mike. That was a good one.
Is it still rape if you're a surprise?
Oh, stop it. Stop it. So, I wasn't that interested in reading that book until now. Is that sick of me? Yeah, a little bit.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, but you're going to get one chapter about dad sex and 14 chapters about Schneider.
Schneider and Valerie Bertinelli. Yeah.
Ordinarily, we see a story like that, we go, well, there's a phone-in topic. I don't think we want to talk to other people who have had that kind of relationship with their mom or dad.
No, that's just for you. That's just for the family. That's just for Thanksgiving dinner talk. That's not really for sharing.
There's a lot of magic and a lot of gayness and a lot of love.
Yeah, a lot of love. J.J. Abrams has announced his next project. Hollywood Reporter did a story today about the creator of Lost and Alias, and of course the man who has rebooted the Star Trek franchise. He also gave us Felicity. What a body of work this guy's had.
Yeah.
Everything he touches turns to gold, pretty much. He's on Fringe, too. He's involved with Fringe.
Which one sticks out of the list of stuff you just named?
Felicity?
Yeah.
That was his big break. That's what got him into TV.
And that was a very popular hit show, Mike.
I know, but it's just odd if you look at the theme of all the rest of the shows and movies.
Apparently said the next project is going to be a comedy for television. A medical series that's also a comedy.
Okay.
Again, sounds like a bit of a departure for JJ, but whatever it is, I bet it's going to be good, because he's good.
And I bet Greg Grunberg is going to be in it.
I bet you.
You know, when we talked to Greg Grunberg, I guess last week it was, he had invented an app for iPhone called Yowza, where you can download electronic coupons, basically, to save money on products and services. And I said, that's an interesting name, Yowza. Where did you come up with that? And he said, J.J. Abrams gave that to me. I said, son of a bitch, is there anything you can do in your life that doesn't involve J.J. Abrams? He saves your ass every time. Speaking of apps, this is not a showbiz story, but I just heard on the news today and I was blown away. $343 million this year will be spent on apps for iPhone. $343 million.
Yeah.
How much does it cost to download an app?
Well, many are free. A lot of them are 99 cents, and then they go up. There are some that are 10 bucks, but most of them are very, very inexpensive.
It's madness.
Yeah, it's a crazy world out there.
And like Bean says, a lot of them are free when you think about factor in how many don't cost anything, 340 million.
They predict by the year 2013, the annual income brought in by apps for iPhone will be over $4 billion. That's what they're projecting.
Yeah.
You iPhone people sure love your crazy ways to find restaurants with like a slot machine.
I've got a handful of very useful apps on my phone. I think it's a tremendous service.
Oh, you must have the most obscure, bogus apps anyone ever had on any phone ever.
I have the Kirby Pluto Telescope.
There are more than 75,000, so they do get pretty specialized.
I have to find a post office slot machine.
I've got sit-at-home llama racing.
I do have a full-time 24/7 Christmas music radio station app. I do have that going on year-round.
Bastard. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jermaine Dupri, of course, legendary producer, rapper, record executive. He is 37 years old. Annie DeFranco's 39. Jason Alexander, who was George Costanza, famously on Seinfeld, 50 years old. And the boss, Bruce Springsteen, celebrates his 60th birthday today.
Oh, yeah.
I had some tape of the boss talking about his birthday, but we just don't have that kind of time. It runs about hour and a half, him telling the story of his birthday party.
Maybe tomorrow.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our next guest just heard about the website hotchickswithdogswithboaters.com and is regretting his decision to appear on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Ladies and gentlemen, the host of the Amazing Race, please welcome Phil Kogan joining us back again. Hey, Phil, how are you, man?
I'm good. I think it's a good sign that I'm back. Well, I don't know if it's a good sign if I'm back. Maybe you guys have, you know... I don't know. Why have you gotten
back? I think you and I should both leave, frankly.
Really?
It's disgusting.
You were shocked.
I'm predicting we'll see that as a challenge on The Amazing Race this season. You have
teams
to find
must
out.
Now find chicks with...
I just don't think
that's going to work, guys.
Sorry. Your ratings would finally get good, Phil, if you put that kind of stuff on your show.
I'll leave that for HBO.
You might win an Emmy or two if you put that kind of thing in your
program.
Yeah, that's
what you do. Big loser.
Wow. How do you guys find time to go searching around for that stuff, man? I can barely get up. You know, I keep getting such a hard time about not Twittering, and everybody's Twittering. It's becoming ridiculous.
It is a national obsession. Do you have tweets?
I read this thing that said, you know, if you Twitter too much, it's a little, you know, I don't know. There are people that follow other people, and they'll say, I'm having a salad.
Our boy Bean here follows 200 people
and
on Twitter.
And he tweets as well.
I don't know how people have the time. I was chasing my daughter this morning in the car because she forgot her computer at home. I had to run home. How do people get online and do this?
Bean has no life. We don't have time to get into a long discussion about it, but the thing about you, Phil, is that you have millions of fans, and you would probably have at least hundreds of thousands of people who would follow you on Twitter who would be interested if you were appearing at a book signing, or
if you were a guest on Conan.
I mean, there are things you could do that would tip off your fans to your whereabouts.
I absolutely agree. I should be doing it more. What I'm saying is, I mean, I see the value in it. if it's used right, because I don't think people want to know that I'm having a salad, but
absolutely
people, right. But I do agree with you. It's just literally like to find the time to do it.
I understand.
And I will tell you, we've talked to people who have started doing it, like Dr. Drew, who say it was fun for a minute, and now it feels like just one more thing I have to do.
Yeah, because every time I'm out, people are like, oh, you should be shooting this and putting this up. You know, like I was out riding with the Specialized guys, 150-mile ride, and you know it was epic. I mean, we climbed over 15,000 feet. It was, and they were like, "You should be twittering this and sending this out to everybody." I'm like, I could barely get on my bicycle and ride my bike.
This is not enough.
Now
for
I got to shoot a video and send it out. Are you crazy?
No, you're all right. What about chasing your daughter? How often do you get to see your family, given your lifestyle?
A lot, actually.
But this is the 15th season of Amazing Race is coming up?
The 15th is going to air. We're going to go shoot the 16th soon. But
So you're
see them
all over the world all the time.
Yeah, but you see, Amazing Race is really only 20% of the travel that I do in a given year. I do, roughly anywhere from 350 to 400,000 miles a year. But a huge portion of that, I am actually with my family. I, try to time big trips with my daughter's holidays.
When she's out of school.
So I do a lot of travel. I go back to New Zealand. I was back in New Zealand 12 times last year.
Oh my God.
That's your hometown.
Well, I have
hometown,
a house
right?
there, and so I go back and forth.
You got to bring the mail in, right, and check the milk.
Feed the dog.
Actually, you joke about it, but it's true. I got cheap trees to chop down and stuff to do. There's stuff to
Come
do
on,
there.
You're a big star. Get people. Some people.
But sometimes it's nice to actually get your hands dirty and just do some.
Phil, you know what's really funny is that so many people want to go to New Zealand and want to go to Australia, and they put it off partly because it's too long a plane ride. Even if they're going once in their life, they don't want to endure that plane ride. You did it 24 times last year, if you count the round trip. That's crazy.
That's very true. Well, all I have to say to them is just harden up.
And fly first class.
I've flown cattle class all my life. I've flown on airlines that you've never even heard of, that were airlines before they were airlines, that went out of business before they were airlines, and where the rivets are holding hands and you're white knuckling it the whole time. No, I mean.
But now you just borrow Bruckheimer's private jet. That's how you get there. That's what you do. You just pilot yourself and you go.
I almost had a chance to ride on Les Moonves' jet once, and my flight got canceled. The flight to get on a flight with him. That sucks. No,
right, let me ask you this, Phil, because
it's not so always so good.
I know your website and your message to the people is no opportunity wasted, and you are a guy who maximizes his life. You're busier than any five people that I know. Is it true that you recently mentioned riding your bike, rode your bike across country?
I did. Yeah, I did. I kind of had.
What are you doing?
We talked to you before you went.
Yeah, it was the whole thing. You know, like I'm 40. Oh my goodness, I'm getting old, and I need to do something very physical, mentally draining. I just wanted to do something big, and I'd always wanted to climb Mount Everest, and then I thought, if I actually rode across America, I could actually do, rather than just sort of like, oh hey everybody, I'm on top of Mount Everest, I climbed Mount Everest. I thought maybe I could actually do this ride. Get the physical, mental challenge, and then do something with the effort. And we raised $500,000 for MS. And we had a whole bunch of people come out. I had lots of people come out and ride with me. And I went with my dad. We were hanging out with my dad. My daughter came out. My wife came out and rode with me. I had friends come, and Mitch from CBS came out. It became this huge event. And it was hugely, hugely rewarding.
Okay, but
the
sorest
tuchus you could ever imagine.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine. That's why I don't do that.
Yeah, it was great, though. I mean, seriously, to do something like that is really.
But
really
I'm exhausted, and all I've done today is heat up macaroni and cheese in the microwave. I mean, that's the extent of what I've done today, and I'm done for the day. I'm whooped.
One thing to say, harden up. Come on.
Yeah,
harden up.
Yeah, get a bicycle, throw your leg over it. I'll lend you some Belgian butt butter to stop any chafing and crank out a few miles, will you?
I rented Belgian butt butter one night. I rented that at the video store.
It's a whole DVD series.
Great video.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Belgian butter.
Phil Kogut is here. We have to talk about the Emmys when we return. We also have to talk all about the new season of The Amazing Race, returning for its 15th season this Sunday night on CBS at 8 o'clock. We'll talk about the eight countries that they'll go to in 21 days. And
we need to do that, because that's why I'm here, and the publicist is outside like scratching on the glass.
I'm
like, dude, stop talking about Belgian and butt butter.
We are going to accomplish all of that when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. Now that song needed a hate. There
it
was
did
no hate.
Need a hate.
Come on.
None of you hate.
I tweeted hate.
Hey.
Congratulations to Eunice Gonzalez, a very sexy name, a very sexy Kevin and Bean Lister. Just won tickets to K-Rock's Super Tuesday Triple Play, which is this Tuesday. K-Rock is going to be live in Hollywood with Paramore at the Troub, Ralph. They're going to be at the Troub on Tuesday morning.
It's the Troubadour.
Alice in Chains at the Whisk, and then AFI at the Rocks. So you can keep listening to win all access passes and all three of those brand new CDs that are in stores on Tuesday only from the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:35. Our guest is the amazing Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race, coming back this Sunday at 8 on CBS, season number 15, as we mentioned a while ago. Are you at the point now where it's tough to go, Phil, to countries where you haven't already been?
You know, I love it. I really love working on this show, and we shoot, you know, basically two seasons a year, so I'm away to a new place, you know, on a new adventure twice a year, and
I
love it.
How many countries are left, though?
There's plenty of countries left. I mean, we've been to over 100.
Civilization that you could actually
You've been to
go
over
to?
100 countries on this show?
Yeah. Well, I mean, before I started working on the show, I'd been to 60 because I've been working in the field for a very long time. But, yeah, on the show, I'm thinking it's at least 100. And this, you know, the thing about places like India or China, you could go back there 100 sure. times and you're never going to repeat
true,
yourself.
Right.
So.
And there's all
that's
those fill-in-the-blankistan places, too. You can go
there's
there.
That.
Fill-in-the-blankistan.
A lot of countries break up.
That's right.
Yeah.
They become little mini countries.
Two, yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The more political unrest there is. Hey, new country together.
That's right.
Yeah. Is there any place on this upcoming season 15 that you can think of that you had not been before that you saw for the first time?
Yeah, sure. Estonia. I'd never been to Estonia. And I'd always heard, you know, you always see on Miss World and Miss Universe, like really gorgeous looking women from Estonia.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're gorgeous.
Really?
They, yep.
Really?
They, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They're really, really good looking. All the people that were really good looking there.
Just one of those places.
Here's an email question that kind of deals with the topic at hand. What kind of small talk do you make with the guy or girl from the country while you're standing there at the mat waiting for the contestants to
That's
show up?
A very good question. Well, it really depends on the person, of course. I've had some very serious sort of people. Like I remember once in Germany, there was a guy who was really, really serious, and I couldn't get him to smile all day. He was just standing there, wouldn't converse with me, and I had a bet with the crew that I could get him to laugh. So I started doing a workout, lifting bags, pulling things up. One guy had a cigarette, so I grabbed the cigarette while I was working out. I was puffing the cigarette while I was working out. I was doing push-ups right in front of him. I put my hands right down by his feet, started doing push-ups to try to get this guy to break. And finally, he cracked a smile because he must have been thinking this guy's nuts. So it's anybody from like somebody like that to somebody who maybe is, you know, Miss Costa Rica. Or a guy who maybe, you know, works down with the local ship. So I try to find, I mean, I find people fascinating. So it's anything. It's like, you know, what's going on in the country politically. Mm-hmm. You know, I just love talking to people. So.
Speaking of fascinating, this season we've heard that one of the contestants has Asperger's syndrome.
Yes.
On the show.
Yes.
Which is
oh.
near and dear to our show because yes. Bean suffers from Asperger's syndrome.
Well, you know, this is one of the great things I think about our show is the diversity that we have had. And
I was watching the clip of the Emmys with that deaf guy. Who participated?
Oh, Marginal. Yeah.
I cried like a baby at that clip. That was powerful stuff.
I think we really have had some of the most diverse characters on our show. Early on, we had you know an openly gay couple. This season we actually have a black and a white a couple. And Team Zebra, as they sort of refer to themselves.
That's great.
But we've really tried to do that. And with Asperger's, it's the same thing. It's like in life, nobody's perfect. And people, you know, whether they suffer from MS or Asperger's or whatever, it's kind of important to have everybody represented.
Right.
And I didn't know too much about it before, and it's kind of nice to have
it. But Bean's got it. He denies it, but he has it.
I do deny it.
I think denial is part of it.
I think so, too. And he can't write with anything but a blue pen,
really?
Or else he spins out and starts foaming at the mouth. How does this guy go from country to country to country, upsetting his regimen and his specific scheduling and not just lose it?
Well, you know, he has an incredible friendship with Justin. So Zev and Justin are just like, there's such a tight bond with these two guys. And it's funny you should say that because I was kind of worried, you know, for him. I was thinking, oh, man, how is he going to break his schedule? You know, he really embraced this experience. And one of the things that I really enjoyed about it was there's absolutely no filter with him. He'll just say what's on his mind.
Yeah. Yes.
We know that experience.
So I hear. I'm sure it gets you guys in trouble sometimes, too. But there was something really cool about having him come to the mat, and I would just say, okay, no filter, what's going on? And he would just say, well, you know, this team, they are. And then he would just get into it. And I'd be like, this is good stuff.
And you know, Asperger's syndrome people love maps. So he's probably good about traveling.
He was asking why he's on the show. Oh,
and,
that's
and he
right.
Would just, he would just say to people, when I meet people, I either like them or I don't like them. And I'm not going to, you know, I don't want to kiss anyone's butt. You know, I just say it like it is. And I just really loved having him on the race. They really got into it. And the friendship, you're going to love this friendship because his friend is so supportive of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just added another dimension.
Wow.
Really, really good.
I can't imagine how many people must apply to be on The Amazing Race at this point in the game. This, it has to be tens of thousands, right?
Yeah, they're tens of thousands. And when they come into the casting, they come in. And I'm telling you, we've had people literally drop down on their knees and, like, please put me on this
not
show.
Not like that, Mike.
Please. Look at you. Are you on the web again?
Sorry.
GetOnYourKnees.com. Come on.
Phil, do they want to be on the show because they want the free travel, or is it because they want the fame of being on TV, or are they competitive people, or where are most of these people coming from?
I think there's, you know, it's a real combination of those things. You know, obviously there's a motivation for the money for some people.
Sure.
But then we've also had people who are very well off and the money is really not a factor. Absolutely, you know, there's people that love the idea of being on TV. But I think overall, if you look at our show and you look at what people say at the end, they realize that even if they win $1 million, they could not buy the experience that we are able to provide them because some of the experiences are just not for sale.
Yeah.
That's
so
true.
And when they leave, what I like about our show is it's not like we end up in a screaming match with these people who say, I can't believe you made me do that or this. These people are like, hey, do you think there's a job in production where I could be like, Phil, maybe could I carry your bags? Like, they don't want to go. They don't want to go. And they talk about the experience like it's the best experience of their lives. So any reality show takes something from somebody to make entertainment. There's
right.
no doubt. We're
right.
asking people to open up, you know, their lives. We ask them to tell us their innermost thoughts, all of that.
Yeah.
So we definitely have to take something from them. That's in any reality show. But I feel like we give something back because they talk about it in such a positive way. And you could ask any amazing racer, and they do come on this ride, this race around the world, and they say, wow, that was like once in a lifetime, one of the best things we've ever done. And that's really been the basis of what our show has been about from the beginning.
You are a tremendous host on that program, but let's not gloss over the fact that you're still a foreigner. And a lot of people are not happy that The Amazing Race has won 7 reality show Emmys in a row.
How did you connect me being a foreigner with the show winning 7 times and now...
Because you're taking American jobs.
You're taking American jobs away.
Asperger's.
I'm taking... Come on. I've lived here the majority of my life. I can't believe
Now, not an excuse. I'm not suggesting there's a backlash or anything like that because clearly the show wins every year because the voters determine it's the most quality reality show on the air. And you guys have earned it every single year. But... at this point, you have to be surprised that you win every year, right?
Pleasantly surprised. And, you know, we feel hugely rewarded. And I actually think we do have an advantage over some of the longstanding shows. And that is we have an ability to keep the show fresh. And a lot of the other shows don't have the same options, meaning they'll go back to the same stage.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go back to the same set. They'll go back to the same environment. They'll go back and they'll do a lot of what you see in the background is pretty much the same season by season.
Yep. Right.
They can change
Absolutely.
The lights. They can change the stage a little
bit. American Idol is the same show. It's just different pieces that they
right.
play with.
So they change the different pieces,
right.
which we do, which are the pieces of the people,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we change the people, and we have people, you know, anybody who has Asperger's or we have a, you know, interracial couple. And I think even with the people, if you look at it, we don't get people that are all good at dancing or all good at singing. Or we're talking about, you know, Joe the plumber, the person with Asperger's, some Harlem Globetrotters. You know, we have like such a plethora of people. So I think we can keep more spice in that area in the
right.
in the casting selection. And then you will never, ever see the same thing in the background.
Right.
We're in a new country. We're doing new things. It's always fresh.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of sustaining power, I think that does give us an edge because people, when they see it, they go, this is really fresh and original and exciting. And I think, you know, people really connect with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations on all the success in the show. Let's squeeze in one phone call because Kevin B. Lister Dave calls every time we have Phil
this
on.
This isn't the INS, is it?
No.
Get that foreigner out of here.
Hi, Dave, if that's your real name. You're on the air with Phil Kogan, host of The Amazing Race. Go ahead.
Hey, Phil, will The Amazing Race be in HD this year?
Oh, listen.
This is Dave who works with us. He's obsessed about the fact that your show's not in HD.
Well, he only watches shows in HD.
If you rewind and you go back to my last visit, I think there was the same question.
Yes, there was.
There always will be.
As long as he works for us, he will be asking this question.
Well, look, let me say this about that. I absolutely agree with you. I can't go into the reasons as to why we are not shooting in HD, and I'm sure there, you know, there's very good reason, but I cannot think of a show that would look better in HD in terms of reality anyway. 16:9 HD, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I would love to see it.
And yet, this season...
It is not in HD.
It's not in HD.
But you know, again, I have to say, trying to shoot a show in a country, say, like India or in the remote areas of Africa, where you're pulling in local crews and pulling in equipment, it is not as easy to just suddenly go to HD as it is, you know, oh, we're at 69 degrees, we're in a studio in downtown, you know, Los Angeles.
Sure. Right.
And can you make a call and pull in some more HD cameras? I mean, we're stuck in the middle of these...
Yeah, you're on a boat in Vietnam. You do what you can, right?
It is not, exactly. It's not a quick, like, oh, let's just suddenly go. So... Believe me, it's on our minds. We want to do it. I absolutely agree with you. I think it would look great.
But to recap, you pedaling a bicycle and throwing up, we've got that in HD, though, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. I want to make sure we captured that for the movie.
Shot in America. And, we had to go HD.
If we had an American host of The Amazing Ways, maybe we'd be in HD, but apparently. All right, returning Sunday at 8 on CBS. Phil, you are always one of our favorite guests. You're always welcome to Kevin Beecher. Thanks a lot for stopping by today.
That means a lot, especially coming from you, because I have a feeling, you know, with Asperger's and everything, you don't kind of, like, lie, right?
No, I say it because I mean it.
Well, that's really nice of you to say that. Maybe one day I'll be like David Saul and have some horrible record up on the wall.
We'll put your picture up, Phil. Absolutely.
Yeah. We can only hope.
That's not a dig at David Saul, by the way, because I like David Saul. I'm just saying it's got that old record up there on the wall. It'd be an old copy of a DVD copy of Amazing Race in SD.
I like it.
Thanks, Weezer, on the world-famous K-Rock. This Tuesday is one of the biggest days in the history of K-Rock. I'm talking about the Super Tuesday Triple Play. Check this out. Tuesday morning, Paramore with Kevin Bean. Then Tuesday at noon or so, it's going to be Alice in Chains at the Whiskey with Cat Corbett. And then that night, I think around 7 o'clock, maybe something like that, is going to be AFI at the Roxy with Nicole Alvarez.
Wow.
All of that in one day. All three great K-Rock bands, all three have brand new albums in stores that day. You could win Paramore's new album, AFI's new album, and Alice in Chains' new album, and admission into all three shows. Your chance to win coming up, or you can go to krock.com for all the details. It is 9:54. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and I guess we killed all the time this hour talking to the great Phil Kogan from Amazing Race.
Apparently, we really did. We're out.
Out of time for nothing except for telling you about tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's going to be great. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel makes a return appearance. We haven't talked to James in some time. His annual Feast of the San Gennaro is going on this weekend.
Very excited.
And Jimmy's going to be on talking about that. That's always great.
Yep.
You can win a date at auction with our own Miss Cleo, who answers phones here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I'm not saying a word. Okay, good.
The beautiful Georgia Fox is going to be here talking about her return to CSI. That's going to be on tomorrow. And you'll be very excited. We loved him in Star Trek. We loved him in Harold and Kumar. There's a new film starring our friend John Cho.
Yeah.
Excuse me, new TV show. He is in that Flash Forward that's debuting on ABC tomorrow night. So we'll talk to John Cho. That's not the noise I was expecting.
Mike, I know, Mike. What? Where's the...
Say it again.
And don't forget, tomorrow we'll also be talking to actor John Cho.
Hey!
Much better. Cats next. And that's all tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.